Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports Endeavors, the show. John Coltrane opens up with, "Dear Lord, dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. We thank you for blessings unseen and acknowledged and all undeserved. We thank you, Lord, for another day, another Sunday. We thank you for our family and friends and world health. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that died on the cross, so we may have the right to trail. We thank you beyond what we can comprehend. We thank you for what we can say. We just want to say that we thank you that you are our God. And we thank you, thank you, thank you. And praise your holy name, Pepper. And your darling son, Jesus. Amen." John Coltrane with "Dear Lord." And that is our opening theme, as we always open the show with a prayer. And big show. A lot of things happening this week. We will, depending on guest situation, we were looking to possibly have Mrs. Judy Pace Floyd in the studio with us today, but HBO will be airing a special segment. This is July 17th, which will be on a Sunday, about Curt Flood. And as you know, Flood was the guy. And as it turned out, no, Flood was not the first guy to fight the reserve clause. There was a gentleman in the minor leagues, and he had kind of went at it, and actually to no avail. And wait, hold up. You know what? Let's start this off right. The voice that you hear opens the show yesterday. Larry Hardesty and Jose Canseco celebrated a birthday. Larry, the greatest African American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, and longevity and tenure. And the man who brought the sports box into fame and brought the likes. I remember Art Russ' classic line from back in the day. He, you know, saw it on the radio, and people saw the likes of legendary Marion Bourque and Doc Stanley here on Larry Hardesty's sports box. He's where he brought us into venue and into stature. And happy birthday to him. Jose Canseco, the first man ever to do 40-40 in the history of baseball. Yep, he was the first guy ever to do 40-40. I'm waiting for some callers. Just trying to see if I got the right setup here. I'm doing a new board today, so we'll see how that works out. And 42 home runs, 40 stolen bases, the exact same number that Barry Bonds had when he became the first National Leaguer to ever do 40-40, the first African-American to do 40-40, and the first left-handed batter to do 40-40. In fact, only four guys have done it: Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, the only infielder to do it, and Mario Serrano, who not only did 40-40 in the terms of 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases, but he also had 40 doubles, over 40 doubles. He was en route to doing it as a Yankee. He had 39 home runs, and it was the last day of the season, and he came up four times, of course, and didn't get a chance to, didn't hit home run number 40, as that turned out to be. And
he would have been the second outfielder, second infielder, that is, to ever do it. And as it turned out, when he did do it, he was an outfielder. Doc Stanley, Sports and Def, on the Blake Rainbow Rainbow Soul. Sports and Def is a show, and we'll have the crew calling us in shortly. And as we will be doing our show, as you know, we were looking for, and we'll still be looking for Mrs. Flood to join us. And with that, if she doesn't, we've got enough of the panel here. I also want to say happy birthday today to none other than C-Wings. C-Wings, Cedric Raymond, celebrates a birthday today. Big things happening this week. A lot of things happening. There's a big press conference this week, too. Paul Williams is finally back in the ring, back in Atlantic City. You know, in fact, his last three fights have been Atlantic City. Close fight in some, but I saw him run away against Sergio Martinez. A loss, knockout to Sergio Martinez back in Atlantic City. And then, again, this will be the third fight there. This will be less than a year, though, and he'll be back in Atlantic City. At one time described as the most feared man in boxing. The best fight in the world, pound for pound, though, and one of the greatest of all time, Floyd Mayweather Jr., September 17th, Victor Ortiz. And Floyd, money, Mayweather. He says, no, now that you're over 35, you can't use pretty anymore. Nobody told pretty boy Floyd that. But let's listen to the head honcho of HBO, Ross Greenberg, as we talk about the reemergence and the forthcoming fight. And once again, the best fight in the world, pound for pound, Floyd Mayweather Jr., back on HBO and back in the ring.
Ross Mayweather, the shot in the arm that boxing needs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we've waited long for Floyd to get back, and we're all excited because, you know, he is such a megastar. He's such a powerful personality in and out of the ring, and fans love him or hate him, but they watch him, you know, whether it's on 24/7 or in the ring. He's just magical. He's a great television star, and we need him back, and here we go.
Ortiz, a guy that sounds pretty good. He's showed last fight, he has a champion heart. Not going to be the stepping stone that people think.
No, I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. Ortiz showed so much against Berto. I mean, he just showed not only heart, will, and skill, but power at 147 pounds. And, no, I think Floyd has his hands full. And I tribute Floyd for picking the best opponent available other than Manny Pacquiao. He just did. He just handpicked this guy, and he looked for the biggest, most attractive fight to generate the most number of buys so he can claim that mantle again as the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Money Mayweather.
Money Mayweather. I mean, it really, you know, money and prestige and power in the sport. I mean, he doesn't just look for money. He wants to be recognized as the best to ever live. And, you know, he's still got the unblemished record. He's a character in and out of the ring. Hold on. I take this call. But, you know, I just think this is an attractive fight.
And when does Tiger here get back on the golf course?
In another month.
You count the days?
No. And I don't even know it'll be a month. I got to go to the doctor. He's got to tell me. It doesn't feel like a complaint now.
Yeah, but is the pain starting to go away?
Starting. Starting.
And we still don't want all our best enemies, do we?
No.
Take it, Ross.
Okay.
Love you.
Doc Stanley, Sports Def on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Sense Sports Def is the show. Waiting for my callers to come in. I'm doing this new panel, boy, so let me see. I may be doing something wrong here. Destino? Okay, I've got Destino now. I think I've got him live with me. Dusty? Okay. All right. He should be here. Good. Dusty? Hello? Okay. Let me see what's happening now. I've got a little Mel Smith. Okay, Dusty.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, good. Just making sure you're here.
Yeah, I dozed off. I apologize. A little medication for my leg.
It's that we do not need to hear your drug situation live on air. We just listened to a little bit of Mayweather.
Yeah, I caught some of it, yeah.
And, well, your thoughts? Floyd Mayweather's back. Ortiz, Mayweather.
Well, I'm glad he's back, but I hope he's not back for the reasons that I fear. You know, as soon as I told you, I said, oh, my God, please don't come back for that he has a tax problem.
Well, I mean, you know, regardless of that, I mean,
listen to what I'm saying.
I mean, boxing needs the guy. Tax problems or not. I mean, they need this guy back in the ring. And if he doesn't get back in the ring, does he, then we don't have a shot of Mayweather Pacquiao.
Right, you're right. But, I mean, boxing doesn't need anybody, not even Mayweather. Yes, he's a commodity. Yes, we're waiting for the big match of the sky that we've been waiting for the last 2 or 3 years. I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. When I heard he was coming back, I said to myself, geez, he's fighting this guy. Pacquiao got Marquez. I hope nobody gets hurt. 2012 is going to be my banner year that I see these two midget giants, these titans of boxing, finally meet up. That's all, you know. But you have to talk about realities. Reality is that you cannot snow in one. I hope it's not a tax problem. I hope he's not so broke from paying high-priced lawyers that he has to come back, you know, and despite the camouflage, or I want to come back and help, this is the real reason. I was angry as heck when he said, I'm quitting. No, man, you got 30, you're 39 and 0, at least round it up to 40. Fight somebody, fight Pacquiao.
You want even numbers. You want
no
even numbers.
I was angry at Marciano, too, 49-0. I said, you make it 50. And he had a fight pending, which was number 50, and he still quit. But
do you know who had the fight against Penny Park? Well, I heard that in Marciano's case, there was two things. One, he was to the point that he really had taken a lot of punishment, and the doctor said, hey,
yes,
you know, Rock, you don't need this anymore. You know, you could get hurt.
You don't need this anymore.
You could get killed,
one big
step away,
fight.
Undefeated,
yeah.
Boom. And I heard that he feared fighting the younger Floyd Patterson. Didn't want to fight
absolutely
a guy that
there,
he possibly...
There were rumors that... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. There were rumors that, yes, the Patterson combine. There were rumors that there were the younger guys or even the older guys were hurting him. You know, when he fought Archie Moore, when he fought Jersey Joe Walker, when he fought those two animals, man, he got hurt. When he fought Ezra Charles, he got cut all over the place. Remember that the second fight with Ezra Charles, he almost got stopped. Ezra Charles hit him with, I believe it was an uppercut, and split his left nostril from the opening all the way to the bone. And he was bleeding, and the referee was about to stop the fight. And this is one of the times when I thought maybe Ezra Charles may have taken a dive. God forgive me if I'm wrong, because... the referee's going to, I said, if it continues, we're going to stop it. In comes Marciano with desperation, bah, bah, bah. He throws a meaningless right hand or left or whatever. I forgot what it was. I got to look it up. And Charles staggers to the ropes, and he holds on, and he's out there. And Marciano threw about 10 meaningless punches, and the referee stopped the fight. I said, damn, Charles. I mean, come on. But that was decades ago, and it still bothers me. But then again,
yeah, see that. Still bothered. Yeah. We're gonna talk about a fight that bothered you yesterday, but let's go back to some more of this, the interviews from the I need you
conference
on that film yesterday from the press conference this Wednesday,
right.
And we talked some more about the coming back of Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Last time I saw you, the last thing you said was Victor Ortiz is going to win this fight. Your profit. Well, you know, I think Victor has the tools.
Ricky Shaver talks about Victor Ortiz's victory and his forthcoming fight with Floyd Mayweather Jr.
He has the strength, the power. Do you know that Victor, in those 31 draw fights he had, in every single one of those fights, he dropped his opponent. In every single one of those fights, his opponent touched the canvas. What does that mean? That means power. And the question is, can Mayweather, who is the best skilled fighter of our generation and maybe of any generation, and he's undefeated, can he hold off? Can he find a way to neutralize the power from Mayweather, from Ortiz, that's a youth. And can he keep him off for 12 rounds? That's going to be the question. And that's why, I mean, I don't know who is going to win. People are asking me. I really think it is a 50-50 fight. One thing I do know, and I'd be willing to bet, is that it's going to be the biggest pay-per-view of the year again.
What was it about Ortiz, Richard? Because, you know, you've got a lot of faith in this guy. You know, you've sorted him out. There's something about him that you really... What was it about him, Richard?
What do you mean,
Ortiz?
Well, you know, we saw a tremendous young athlete, a tremendous young man who has overcome in life many adversities and has really made something out of that. You know, he has been dealt as a young boy, some tough cards with his the foster homes, the parents leaving him, and so on. And he knew how to turn that into a positive and go to the gym and channel that negativity into something positive. And for that, we respected him and we admired him. We really saw something special in him, and that's why we signed him. And, you know, after the Maidana fight, when a lot of people felt like, a lot of people gave up on Victor Ortiz.
The question is hard.
Yeah, exactly. Question his heart and his desire and so on. But you have to understand, this is, back then he was 22 years old, young, you know. I remember when I was 22, and a few years ago, a lot of people, most people, I'm sure, made mistakes when they were in their early 20s. And it's called learning. It's a learning experience. And I think Victor Ortiz learned from that experience, learned from what happened in the ring. And again, like he's done as a young boy, turned around and made a positive out of that. And he, and when you watch that Berto fight, you saw his whole behavior from the first second he stepped foot in that ring, that Victor Ortiz was not going to be denied that night, and that Victor Ortiz is not going to leave that ring without that world championship around his belt. And do I think he's going to come in with that same mindset, with the strength and the youth and the power and everything, all the positives on his side, everything to gain, very little to lose? That is what makes Victor Ortiz the dangerous of an opponent as Floyd Mayweather has ever faced. In particular, Floyd Mayweather, who has fought in over 16 months.
And the South.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the catch 22 here. You win this fight. You're beating this. You think Pacquiao would come to you, or people would start avoiding
you? Well, you know, if you fight and win against the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, most killed fighter in the world, Floyd Mayweather, and you beat him, it is sort of like the line form very quickly, and everybody wants to fight you, because when you are in those, in that position, that category, then you command. That's where the money is. That's where the money is, and people want to fight you. So I can. I'm sure that the list will be very long, very quick.
Congratulations, Richard. You labored with this young man. You took some personal interest. Took some chances.
Yeah.
You've done a great job with Golden Boy. But congratulations for where he is.
Thank you.
You've done a great job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
CEO of Golden Boy, Richard Schaefer.
Richard Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. A great guy. And not only that, you hear the accolades and respect for Floyd Mayweather Jr. We're going to do some accolades and respect for our own, the man who broke the story here about the president and Bin Laden being slain, our number one football correspondent and number one in the world. And say happy birthday to Cedric Raymond. Sea Wings, happy birthday, baby.
Thank you. Good evening and happy holiday, 4th of July weekend to everyone.
A 4th of July baby, huh?
Well, you know, no, he's not a 4th.
A real
he's today. Today's his birthday. Today, but you know what's amazing about this? That your birthday is today, Cedric, and yesterday was the birthday of a guy that you so admire and have been such an integral part of all our lives, especially here on the sports scene in New York City. Yesterday was the birthday of Larry Hardesty.
Larry Hardesty's
birthday yesterday. For those of you who need a reminder who Larry Hardesty is, I will very simply help you very quickly. This is Larry Hardesty.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear
the man who opens our show. That's
the Godfather
him. And happy birthday to him. And not only that, it's also the birthday yesterday of Jose Canseco. 42 home runs, 40 stolen bases, the first man ever to do 40-40. And Jose told me he was en route to doing 40-40 again, got injured, and he just said, well, I'll just do 30-30. First man ever to do 40-40. He was fouled. Alex Rodriguez to date is still the only infielder in the history of baseball to do 40-40. And 40-40. In fact, Alex is leaning more toward 50. First man in the National League and the only African-American to do 40-40, Barry Lamar Bonds, 42 home runs, 40 RBIs. Last year, Seriano. Mario Seriano became the fourth man and the first man to do 40-40-40. 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases, and 40 doubles. So those are the only guys to do it, but Jose Canseco was the first. And at this time, it was a happy birthday to my sister, who have a birthday on the 6th, and it will also be the birthday of none other than Willie Randolph. And
Mr. Randolph.
Yeah, Willie Randolph, the 6th. The 15th will be the birthday of Colonel Robert L. Bethea, Jr., first ever African-American commander in the history of the JCSC unit in the military, and also Chief of White House Security some time ago for Obama, and he just happens to be my cousin also. Doc Stanley, Sports It Up on the Blake. We're here with Rainbow Souls, just sports for the show. I'm doing the new board today. It's really, innovative. It's a little different. And yet, I was using the old board. You stay familiar, but changes came, as Obama said. And we have that. Okay, C-Wings, we've got you here. And we got, what's happening with this football season, C-Wings?
Well, it's been the ongoing discussion between the owners and the Players Association it's been going strong for the past, I would say,
forever in a day, it seems like forever. since the Super Bowl.
I mean, they actually said that talks nearly broke down last week due to the heated conversations between the lawyers.
What caused such a heated and exchange that caused such a volatile reaction on both sides, C-Wings?
Well, the report's going out that the owners are mad at the Players Association. Basically, it's like a media war. Everyone's going at one another. Media, the Players Association are saying the owner's side is doing this. The owners are saying that the players are holding up the collective bargaining agreement. Basically, you have millionaires against billionaires and vice versa.
I love that one.
Millionaires
against billionaires. Hey, no, put me in the middle there somewhere. Millionaires against billionaires.
We'll continue on. It will continue on Tuesday. I have a feeling that we will get some sort of collective bargaining. I think at the worst, we may lose maybe 1 or 2 weeks of training, but I don't think we'll get the games in. I think
actually, that'll be Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, also Sports Network show. Happy birthday to Cedric Raymond. Happy birthday to you, our dear beloved friend. And the birthday greetings also yesterday to Larry Hardesty, the greatest African sportscaster in history of New York City radio from an African perspective and tenure. And the birthday, too, of the first man ever to do 40-40, Jose Canseco of the Oakland A's, who won MVP that year with 42 home runs and 40 RBIs. Early birthday greetings to my sister, Teresa, July 6th, who shares that along with Willie Randolph, first ever African-American manager of the New York Mets. And now in Baltimore, with the great manager, what a tremendous manager he is, Buck Showalter. We want also, as this month continues, happy birthday to my cousin, Colonel Robert L. Bethea, Jr., first ever African-American commander in the history of the JCSC unit, in the history of, I'll try to get him on here. Maybe have him join us for a while to get him in to join us on the show. And some other birthdays. My grandfather's birthday is the day before mine. I'm not going to say that. And the next day is me and my sister's birthday. And then what happens is that my grandfather, in the month of June, from his birthday to the end of July, he's got about 11 or 12 great and great grand. And from June to the end of July, he's got 11 or 12 great grandchildren and grandchildren. I mean, he just, you know, it's just amazing. And his birthday is the day, same day as great Derek Jeter. Doc Stanley Sports, it's amazing. Jeter, what if we did an all-star pick the other day, and Jeter, the National League, American League, half the infield, all three-quarters of the infield. Cano at second, Jeter at short, and A-Rod at third base, starting for the all-star team starters. No question, DJ won't start. Well, I don't know, maybe who knows, but in the wake of the injury that he's having, but... he's on the team, and we also have Mariano Rivera, who just broke the record for the most appearances by a relief pitcher on one team in the history of baseball. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the plate.
Blew a save.
Rainbow Sports and Depth on the show. Go ahead. Somebody say them.
He when just
he
blew a save
back?
To the Mets.
What'd you say?
Jeter's coming back.
Jeter will be back for the All-Star game?
No. When is he coming back?
Oh, well, that's the question. That's the question. I mean, he's still down in Florida, running and trying to get everything
Jersey,
together there.
No, he's in Trenton.
He's in Trenton.
He's where?
Playing with
he's New Jersey now.
Triple Diamond team there, but the Thunder.
The guy that's filling in for him, he lost that game today. They need to send him back to the minors. I mean, he made two errors.
Yeah. Did you see those errors?
Yeah, it cost him the game. I mean. I could see this guy, as soon as Jeter come back, they sending him, he's going back to the farm team. I mean, he's...
Yeah, Ramiro Peña.
Yeah.
That's the guy, Ramiro Peña.
I mean, Ray Charles could have did a better job than that, and he was gone. Ridiculous.
Dr. Stanley, boys and gentlemen, a little commercial break, we'll be right back. Don't nobody move. Nobody say a word.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
There it is, baby. Doc Stanley Sports. Now, let's do it one more time here.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Can you call this number? No more. Hold on. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake. Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Depth is the show. Dusty.
Yeah.
Last night, we had the heavyweight champion of the world against David Haye. Your opinion on that fight?
Yes, we have the heavyweight waltz without the music from the symphonic orchestras. Klitschko lived up to who Klitschko is. Hayes lived up to getting into Klitschko's head, and you can tell for the whole 12 rounds that Klitschko was reluctant, gun-shy, whatever you want to call him, to launch an offensive other than what he has always customarily does. But even then, he was reluctant to even go forward.
I'm taking your word, Dusty, Ray Charles Dusty here, and I like what you said, Dusty. You're saying that you thought he could have put a better performance?
He could have put a better performance, more offensive. David Haye should have been a little more aggressive.
Did you call him the other day and say 9 o'clock? Yes, you did. You called me the other day and you said, Doc, I see you're going to be in at 9 o'clock. I said, Rooney, we're going to be in at 9 o'clock. Remember you called me? Yeah. All right. We're waiting for you.
And David Haye could have been a little more aggressive. He was, and when he bombed Klitschko, he let Klitschko wrestle him like the WWF and threw him on the floor. But the amazing thing
is... I want you to use that comment again when we get Rooney to join us. But right now, gentlemen, I want everybody to stand at attention. Stand up, baby. Make a salute. I have on the line Colonel Robert L. Buffet Jr., the first ever African-American commander of the JCSC unit in the history of the United States military. That's the unit that the Air Force came from. And, yeah, he happens to be my number one cousin, but what's that got to do with it? Gentlemen, say hello to Colonel Robert L. If you want to, you can say Bobby Lee, but say with respect. Gentlemen, say hello to Bobby Lee. Say hello to Colonel Buffet. Dusty?
Salute.
Say hello to Colonel
Buffet.
Okay.
How you doing, Colonel Buffet? Salute.
Hey, hello to Colonel Buffet.
I want you, Colonel. I salute you and thank you for your service to this country and having the courage to stand up and take that position, because I tell you, I don't have the courage to join the military. I didn't, and it takes respect to
Cedric, say hello. Back off with the speeches, okay? If you want to do some, send the brother a couple of dollars to the United Bethay way, okay?
Bob, Leslie Jr., can you hear me?
We also, I got Hoopsa, say hello. And Hoopsa, say hello to Colonel Robert L. Bethay Jr., the first and only African-American commander of the JCSC unit. And Hoops, he can go to the hoop with authority, baby. The boy got a jump.
How you doing? Welcome to the show. How you doing?
And not only that, the boy... Hey, Bob saw Dr. J up close with the Virginia Squad. In fact, him and Doc were on a first-name basis.
Wow.
You know, and I've also got Rooney? Did Rooney, you finally join us?
We are here, sir. We are here.
Okay, we're here. All right. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who crossed the world, and, of course, here in the United States, we, without question, owe a profound debt to the likes of the gentlemen who go into the military. And, you know, my cousin here went when it was still an obligation. My cousin went when it still was your duty. My cousin went when he felt like this is what I have to do, not that it was a job. His birthday is the 15th of this month, so we're saying happy birthday early. But, Bob, hey, baby, we'd love to have you. We're glad you're here with us. Well, first of all, how are you and the family feeling there, Colonel Bethay?
Hey, we're doing. Blessed, be enjoying this holiday weekend that we have here. Really happy to have a little time off.
Mm-hmm. And right now, you're stationed in Virginia, right?
That's correct. Yeah, up there. I'm in the Pentagon.
And I think Lady A, did you finally join us here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Lady A.
Hello.
Okay, hey, Rooney, calm down, okay, gentlemen, calm down.
Hello, lady.
Hey,
Doc,
I want
let
you
me
to
say
hello
to the great Colonel
Robert L. Bethay Jr., the first and only African commander of the JCSU unit in the history of the United States military, and also former chief of security of the White House. Say hello to Colonel Bethay there, Lady A.
How you doing, Colonel?
Hey, how are you, ma'am?
Pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
I'm happy that you do the job that you do and keep our country safe, or you've done, and keep our country safe, and doing a phenomenal job.
You've done two tours in the combat zone, am I correct, sir?
That's correct.
Yeah, well, come on, give it to us now. Talk to us.
I went to support Operation Iraqi Freedom 2 in 2004, and then I went back again for a 15-month tour in 2006.
And if I'm correct, your wife also is as we say in the military, a full bird.
That's correct, she is.
And I believe she won Female Officer of the Year in the military. Am I correct, sir?
I'm not aware of her winning Female Officer of the Year. So.
But she did win some sort of prestigious award. I may have been a little erroneous.
She won several
And cuz in the future like that, if I say she won it, just go with me, baby. I'll take the weight.
Doc,
okay, just go with
Doc. I got a question for the colonel, if I may. Doctor, for the uninitiated, and colonel for the uninitiated, exactly what rank? Well, what does a full bird mean, actually?
Colonel. He's a full colonel. In the military, you have two sets of stature. You have the second lieutenant, first lieutenant, and major. That's the highest level there. Then the next level you have is captain.
Let me answer for you, Mama. Just
major.
Go ahead, Colonel. I'm sorry, Colonel. I'm sorry, Colonel. Talk to him.
Right. So, you know, in all our military, we have enlisted ranks and we have officer ranks. And our folks that are part of the officer ranks normally college graduates, and they come in as second lieutenant. And they work their way through the ranks from second lieutenant to first lieutenant, captain, and then we call those company grade officers in the Army. And then in the once you hit the rank of major, then you consider field grade. And so you have major, lieutenant colonel, and then you have colonel. Those six, as Melvin referred to as full bird. But those are the ranks. And it's just the level of authority that you're given, the responsibility commensurate with the, you know, increased rank and responsibility.
Colonel, an absolute honor. Thank you for the explanation.
Thank you.
And when he was the JC as a unit commander, he was at that time a lieutenant colonel holding a full word colonel slot. And since he's left, two things have happened. That slot will never be filled by what we call a light bird. It will also be always be filled by a full bird. So he was doing not only a job beyond his rank, but beyond the credibility, he was filling a slot above his. But then he's always that, you know, I have a little saying for him. He's my favorite cousin and my number one male cousin. I mean, I'm not shy about that, you know. And our mothers are sisters. And I used to go down to Virginia every year, and he used to tell this story. And you got to love this. He said they'd be in the huddle, and this guy would look at him, and it'd be like fourth in all the yards in the world. And he looked at Bob and said, "Got to send you, baby. Don't know what you're going to do with it, but I got to send you." Got to send you, baby. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, forget the running play. Hey, I know I'm thrown into a triple zone, but he looked at Bob and said, "Got to send you, baby." I'm going to tell you something about him. You know,
Colonel, I have a question.
Just a second. You know, God gives you your family. You know, and you can't top that. I remember me and Bob, real quick, Bob, we were in the BX, and the young lady gave Bob his change. As we walked away, Bob stopped, had this look of horror on his face. He said, "Oh my goodness!" And he ran back. So as we went out, I said, "Dad, because she forgot to give you change." He said, "Nah, okay, nah. She gave me too much. Class, character, and stature when you talk about Colonel Robert L. Bethea." "No," he said, "she gave me too much." He reminds me of that line that I'll never forget in the movie The Tall Man, when Clark Gable came in and he left. And he walked out the door. Robert Ryan said, "He's everything every old man said he was and everything every little boy wants to grow up to be." Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Robert L. Bethea, Jr., my cousin.
Colonel, like Lady A said, I also want to say to you, know, to you, and please pass it on to your wife, you know, thank you so much for, you know, being the person responsible for the security of our country. If it wasn't for men and also women, like yourself and your wife, we wouldn't be able to do sports in Depth Nation and have the, you know, the freedom and the liberty to do so. So again, we just want to give you salute on the job.
And
that you
I mean, and also Chief of White Security. Now, somebody had a question for Colonel.
Yeah, I do. I have a question.
Dusty,
yeah.
Hold on. Let
yeah, okay,
let Hoopsa go
hold
first.
On.
Okay, go ahead, Hoopsa.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Mr. Colonel?
Oh, Hoopsa.
Hey, how are
you? I didn't know Hoopsa was here.
Yeah, I'm here, babe.
How you doing?
Yeah. Okay,
hey,
I'm good.
You,
I want to ask the Colonel, did he watch the finals, and then who he went for?
You're talking about the NBA finals?
Yes, sir.
I did watch them, and I was rooting for Dallas to get this win. Even though
okay.
I'm not normally a Dallas kind of fan, I kind of thought Dirk Nowitzki and the team did a super job and really going through a lot of adversity at the end of the year playing hurt players. You know, they got Caron Butler, who was a person here with the Wizards.
Right.
And just rallied and played through, just an incredible series. I think they handled it with a lot of class and character. And I just kind of thought it was kind of neat for them to win.
Okay.
Colonel, keeping in basketball, forget to use Dusty. I mean, you were a guy, I mean, people forget that Dr. J played in the ABA in Virginia before he, I mean, you saw him down there with the Virginia Squires,
right.
Am I right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm one of the few fortunate, if you will. my dad was in the Navy, and he used to get tickets to the Virginia Squires almost every week, and it was our treat, if you will, to be able to go and see Dr. J play with the Virginia Squires. Coming right
playing
off. Yeah. Played in right north of Virginia in the Scope.
North of
right
Scope.
In, north of
yeah.
The legendary Scope.
The Scope.
Hey, Bob,
you know, I know about
that. Is the Scope still there?
It's still there. It is still there, yeah. They do,
still there? Wow.
Yeah.
But then, Bob, your opinion, I know, I Julius Erving said something, and you know our relationship with Julius, his family does. He said something one time. He said, you know, at 26 years old, I couldn't imagine anybody better than me. It is can you go with that? I mean, people talk about Jordan. I remember Hubie Brown told me, he said, nobody finished the break like the doctor said. He come down to Kentucky, he says, and the fans, and Bob, he said, the fans wanted him to score 50, but they still wanted to win the game.
Well, I'll be honest. I've always been a Dr. J fan, so I may be slightly biased, but I will tell you that I'm of the belief that at 26, now I got to see him when he came, straight out of college.
UMass.
With Big Afro, coming out of UMass. I'm telling you, I didn't see another athlete on his part. Even today, I think they're probably the closest, just pure talent, physical mm-hmm. talent. Not necessarily mental, but physical, mm-hmm. which is probably LeBron in terms of just
wow,
LeBron, wow.
But I would take Doc in a minute over LeBron.
Coach Hubie Brown said nobody finished the break like that. I remember the first time I talked to George McGinnis. I said, George, can you give me some thoughts on Dr. J? He says, I can't. He says, because I've never seen anything like him. Never seen anything. Dusty, go ahead. We got Colonel Buffet here.
Yeah, really special player.
Yeah. Oh, yes, man. Special player. And especially, I remember I walked into the locker room and I heard Coach Larry Brown say something. I'll never forget. He says, Julius Erving is a greater superstar off the court than he is on the court. He's some kind of human being. Dusty, Colonel Buffet, go shoot that question to him, Dusty.
Well, I have a question. I know you're talking sports, but it's a quasi-military question. And you said you did two tours in the Middle East and all that. And my son nephew came home today. He was in Afghanistan. I hadn't seen him in 6 years.
Yeah.
But the country has turned around now that in my day, a long time ago, if you did a tour in combat, that was it. You got replaced. But a lot of my the soldiers today have either retained there, brought back. You come in, he came in today. I hadn't seen him in 5 years, like I'm saying, and he has to go back. But he's already done four tours in the Middle East. The country exercising this right to retain the soldier? My brother did Vietnam. He was in combat in Vietnam. He got the Bronze Star and all that. But, I mean, he did a second tour because he volunteered for it. But you didn't have to volunteer for a second tour. Now, is the government today saying, well, you're a soldier, this is combat, you're going to stay, forget tours and forget completion of tours. Are we facing this now? Is that what it is?
Well, of course, we have a volunteer army, and so when you volunteer in the Army, Air Force, Marines, or Navy, you have an obligation that is part active duty, and also a portion of it is a reserve commitment.
Mm.
And most people kind of think I'll have signed up for 2 years, and that's all I have to do. But the reality of it is, when you really sign up, you have more than 2 years when you add your reserve obligation as well.
Oh yeah, because I was drafted and I had my reserve duty, but
it was
taken over. It was sort of nullified in a sense. Because
we're not talking about the days of the cowboy, okay? Okay, those days,
stable, but it was. But
one of the original cowboys, Dusty.
It was nullified because at the time that I was in, that was just at the tail end of Korea, we had the beginning of the Third Reich and Vietnam was starting. So I was in between three world conflicts. So we will retain, and you're right, we will retain over a year because of that. But that nullified my reserve duty. But what I'm saying now in combat, the guys do combat. They come back from jungle rider, whatever it is, and they got to go back to the combat zone. And
it's really the number of troops that we have right now support. You know, you got to remember now, for more than 10 years now, we've been in Iraq and in Afghanistan, two wars, two wars.
Right, you're right.
The army is transforming the army in terms of modernizing at the same time, and we're doing all of that essentially with the same people. And the number of people that's in all of the military is a responsibility of Congress. And in terms of the Army, they take it very serious on, you know, how many, what level of readiness the Army is operating at. And it's just right now kind of, and you got to remember, if you wanted to increase the number of people in the Army, you couldn't do it because it takes, it just takes time to grow. I don't know if you said you were in the Army, so it takes time to grow. A sergeant first class. You don't come into the Army as a sergeant first class. You know, it takes about 15 years to grow a good sergeant first class.
Exactly.
It takes about 8 years to grow a good captain. So if you say today I want to increase the force structure by whatever, then you gotta say then I'm going to be committed to how long it takes.
And then you gotta
factor the principles on top of all that.
Yeah, that takes time. My nephew's in E6, and he's I don't know what's going to happen. But you mentioned you're stationed in Virginia. What base you're in?
I'm in the Pentagon. Right.
Oh, you're in the Pentagon.
He's in the Pentagon. He bumps shoulders every day with the top him and Obama on a first name. He's in the Pentagon. You wanted to go there. That's where my cousin is, baby. In the Pentagon.
I was stationed in Fort Myers.
You know that tree?
Fort Myers.
The building.
I was a tomb guard over there.
Yeah.
You was a tomb guard?
Yeah, I was a tomb guard. I was the unknown soldier, and we did parades and the whole. It was ceremonial during the Kennedy time, and that was
right. Wow.
Yeah, but anyway.
So after you got out of the Calvary, you went to the tomb guard, huh?
Exactly. Out of the Calvary.
Doc Stanley, Sports Death on the Plate, better Rainbow Soul, Sports Death on the show. Our special guest today is none other than Colonel Robert L. Bathe Jr. We've talked already. Gentlemen, we're going to go right back to a quick interview. Colonel Bathe will be with us. Mayweather is back in town. We listened to Richard Schaefer. We listened to Ross Greenberg. Let's listen again to another interview talking about the forthcoming Mayweather-Ortiz fight.
Cashing in on Victor Ortiz, and they didn't give him much of a chance. We always believed in Victor because when you have that upbringing you have as a young, as a kid, you have to deal with what he had to deal with.
Good position because, I mean, one more win over Mayweather puts him on top of the boxing world and puts him in the position to fight Pacquiao and make unbelievable money, the type that'll give him lifetime security. But I think Mayweather knows what he's doing in this fight, and I think he should win fairly easily. Ortiz holds the title, so he's being hyped up that way. But Mayweather, I feel, at the end of the day, will be heads and shoulders above him.
Will this mean finally, Mayweather Pacquiao?
Now, that's up to Floyd. It could have already happened. I'll tell you this. If it doesn't happen next spring, it's never going to happen. Because Pacquiao should be Juan Manuel Marquez in November. And Mayweather should get the job done against Ortiz. And then nothing should be standing in the way at that point. Pacquiao, that's not an easy fight. No, that's a hard fight. I mean, I don't know who to pick. Who are you picking?
To pick him, but you know what you're going to say is that both guys have picked tough guys to fight if they're going to get to each other.
Oh, yeah. They are, but this fight's pretty much just on the verge of being made. But you never know what could happen. Look at Ali Frazier, too. I mean, Frazier took a tune-up with George Foreman and
never
lost
saw
his title.
Again.
Right, never saw the title again. So, you know, you can never tell.
Mr. President, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mel.
Jack, appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack Hurst and talking about the forthcoming Victor Ortiz and Floyd Mayweather fight. Colonel, are you a boxing fan? I think we lost the Colonel. Okay, he had to run. Maybe he'll come back and join us again. Hey, Lady A, you were there, impressed with Victor Ortiz. Great guy, but I think the bottom line, a couple of things. Mayweather is better. Mayweather is superior. And also, we got to look at the fact, you know, good point. I mean, would he pick a fight that would jeopardize the possibility of fighting Pacquiao? Lady A.
I don't think so. I mean, Mayweather, I think we've talked in the past about how he strategically, you know, has been able to get these big purses because he's able to choose, you know, very diligently what it is exactly it is that he and who it is exactly he's going to fight and what camp he wants where. And I mean, he's not And in talking to him, Doc, I mean, you know, the guy seemed, he spoke very eloquently at the press conference about what he wants to do in the future. I think he's 2 and 3 steps ahead already of the schedule of what he wants to do every year. You know, he plans everything. And I think that this is definitely going to be a fight where we already know the outcome. You know, and nothing, we're not taking anything away from Victor Ortiz. You know, I got to tell you, my outlook on him changed significantly in hearing him speak and his attitude. He seemed like he was over the fact that he had given up on Maidana and that his mindset was different. Just in speaking to him, I think you and I kind of gathered that from him. But, you know, as far as skill, you know, I don't see it going the distance, Doc, you know. I don't.
No, well, you said that before. You said that before.
Yeah.
And we got Colonel Bethea, you back with us?
No. Well, you expect
Colonel?
To... Hello?
Hold on, Dustin. Colonel Bethea?
Yeah.
Colonel?
No.
Make sure we get the Colonel back in. Colonel Bethea? Make sure I got the Colonel back in here with us.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Colonel? Okay, let me come up here. Oh, here he is. He's coming back.
Hey, Doc, can I say something?
Yeah, Colonel Bethea is back with us, Colonel. Go ahead, Hoosa.
Yeah, I just want to send a little. I know you heard about Lorenzo Charles dying in a car crash out there in the Raleigh,
yeah,
North Carolina.
Yeah,
oh, he did.
Was driving the bus.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Starry City, you know.
Was that Hoosa?
I said he's living in Starry City.
Really?
Before he moved to Raleigh, yes. I know.
Yes, Hoosa. He lived in Starry City.
He used to
for a while.
Before he moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. And his family.
Wow.
Oh, he died. He's 47 years old. So
NC State, man. NC State. Yeah. No.
But that dunk, you know, they have the town after the street after him, and they have the Lorenzo Charles Day for him. They sell his jerseys and everything for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know the thing about
he just retired his jersey too. Real sad. I was shook up by that, man. Really.
The big thing behind that was after the dunk, you know, Coach Falvell is looking for
somebody to hug. Look at somebody to hug. Yeah, I remember that game.
Somebody to hug, man.
That was one of the biggest upsets in college history, too.
Yep.
Yeah. It was. I don't think it was the. Yeah, it was the.
Well,
think it was
yes,
the,
it was.
It was
that
big
year
one.
with Ryan and the team.
What college did you go to, Colonel?
I'm a graduate of Norfolk State University, right here in North Virginia.
Right. Now, Norfolk State, if I'm correct, Bobby Damage went there, didn't he?
That's correct.
Yeah.
The great small forward on those Baltimore teams. And if I'm now, did Charles Oakley go there, or he went to Virginia Union?
Virginia Union.
Oakley went to Virginia Union.
Virginia Union. Right. Now, Virginia Union. That's not the. Now, your mother went to. Where
went
did
to
your
North
mother go?
State, and she also graduated from Hampton.
Right, Hampton. Okay.
Rick Mahorn.
Okay, which is
Rick Mahorn. Yeah.
Okay, there, boy. Now, you know, you play, you got little hoops in you too, ain't you? You play little one-on-one with the president now and then, or what happened?
What, say that again?
No, I'm talking about Colonel Bethay. He's a hoopster himself, and he played little
ball
down there in Norfolk State.
And, you know, I enjoy the game. I just try to stay in shape now to play my son.
Now, your son, his cousin. My cousin Merle, his son, is a tremendous football player. And I'm talking about football, as we say soccer. I call him Pelé. Now, Colonel, you were in charge of White House Security for a while, weren't you?
Say again?
You were chief of staff of White House Security for a while?
No, I was the chief of staff of DISA, Defense Communications Agency, of which WACA, the White House Communications Agency, is one of our subordinate units. Right.
Mm-hmm. Subordinate units. I like that. Subordinate units. Did you ever have any encounters with our president? Any venues? Yeah.
No, I didn't have to have any personal encounters with him. But the folks that we had running that outfit, that's their job to support him in and around the Washington area and on any trips that he traveled abroad.
No, we're talking about boxing here. Mayweather has come back on the boxing scene, down, not too far from you. It's funny, you had Dr. J in one area, and for a long time, from Palmer Park, Maryland, Sugar Ray Leonard, and another guy that's kind of popular in the area too, Ray Charles Leonard.
Yeah. Wow. I see a guy boxing, and not from my area, down in the Tywood area with Pernell Whitaker.
Oh, Sweet Pete. Correct.
That's Doc's friend. That's Doc's buddy,
yeah.
That's
buddy.
That's
Doc's man. Don't start those stuff. Now, if I'm correct, didn't you Colonel in one of his grades there?
I'm sorry, say again.
Didn't your mother teach Pernell in grammar school?
No, she didn't teach Pernell, but he went to the school over there that she taught at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also your brother went to school with Alonzo Mourning, Indian River?
That's right. Yeah, they both graduated the same year out of Indian River High School. Yeah.
Wow.
Colonel, you keep abreast of sports. Today, Nadal lost at Wimbledon, but boxing-wise, a lot of talk of this Mayweather and Pacquiao fight. Any thoughts on that? Do you like either guy? Have you,
seen it? I would really like to see that fight. I think both of them are tremendous fighters, but I am now of the belief that Pacquiao might win that fight if it were to happen.
Wow.
So at first you were leaning toward Mayweather, inactivity has now made you lean toward Pacquiao?
Yeah, I just think Pacquiao just rises to the crazy. I mean, if you think about, he's, I don't know how many weight classes, you probably can tell me that he's just able to, rise to the occasion and make big guys really look bad. when you think of how much weight he's having to go up to fight, it started with the Golden Boy when he fought him.
La Hoya,
La
Hoya.
You know, it's interesting that you said it because a lot of people don't know this. The disparity in size was such that, the Philippines actually petitioned to not have that fight happen. The fear that Pacquiao was just really so much over his head that they had petitioned to not let that fight happen. Oscar,
who petitioned for that, Doc?
Really?
The Philippines. The Philippines had petitioned to not have that fight happen. They didn't want their boy getting beat up on. Oscar was too big for him, and as we see what happened, but Oscar hasn't been the same for a while. I remember talking to Oscar, and he got hurt. He hurt his arm in that fight against Mayweather, so he hasn't been the same for a while. But the Philippines A little inside. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, and Sports Network. The show, the crew is here. Lady A, the Hoopster, Sea Wings, Little Coco, Dusty, and of course, our special guest, Colonel Robert L. Bethea Jr. And yeah, they had petitioned, I mean, to not have that fight done. You know, and it didn't, it worked out for Pacquiao, but they had petitioned not to have that. Colonel, you've seen some of the guys in the past. Would Pacquiao stand a chance against Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran?
Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
Hell no.
You know, it's hard to say. Roberto Duran in his prime, I'm not sure anybody can stand up with him, honestly. In his prime. All right, now, Ray Leonard, Ray always surprised me. When he got past Tommy Hearns, I'll be honest, that's tough to call. That's
Hey, you know what, Colonel? You just called. You know, you tell Harold Weston, who's not. Harold Weston tells the story of Ray
Harold.
And
Harold.
Yeah, Harold. Yeah, he's got that fight coming up this week. Harold said Ray Leonard and Angelo Dundee called him and said, "Hey, Harold, look, man, we weren't going to fight Tommy, but we saw your fight. So you know, we're fighting. No, what do you suggest?" Well, Harold said, "Well, look, Ray, you know, you got to stay away from Tommy for the first four or five rounds." He said, because Tommy hurt you. Tommy will take you. Tommy going to hurt you. So Ray said, "Well, I'm going to give him the first five or six rounds." So Harold said, "Well, Ray, if you give him the first five or six rounds, you're going to be behind in the fight." Ray said, "It don't matter." He said, "Because I'm going to knock him out."
which he did.
Which he wind up doing. But that was just a great little story. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Lake, Red Up Rainbow Source, Sports Network for the show. Our guest today is Colonel Robert L. Bethea Jr. That now you know you look back. Your dad did 20 odd years in the Navy, and your uncle John did 20 odd years in the Army.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yeah.
My other uncle, my dad's brother, he did over 20 in the Army also. So we have a family that.
It's a military family.
Well, not only that, Bob. You know, you came to New York. I heard you played against the legendary Sick Boss Grace with Millie Mae. Is that true, Bob?
I came, you know, being from Chesapeake, Virginia, my mom and Melvin's mom was, with their sisters, and so she allowed me to come up on summers and spend time in New York, which is always a big event for me growing up in Virginia. And you're right, Melvin, one of the big deals was playing stickball. With New York, because we didn't play stickball in where I'm from down in Chesapeake, Virginia. So I had to learn that. You know, that was a different kind of sport.
Yeah, it's a New York City. You know, every time I came up from the military that summer, before I went up to the combat zone, and usually, you know, when I come to the house, Bob would be laying for me. I come to the house, I said, "Well, where Bob at?" He down the street playing with the fellas. You know. Bob's out there in the street with the folks. They tell the classic line, you know, Bob liked New York so much. They talked to Bob when they said, "Bob, you know, you want to go home?" Bob said, "No, I want to stay in New York." They said, "Well, you know, what about your brother? Don't you want to see your brother?" "Hey, gang," Bob said, "he can come visit me in New York." Bob, he can come visit me in New York. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake with the Rainbow Show, Sports Network of the show. We had a fight yesterday. Some people thought it was a holy
boring
match. We had a fight.
Oh boy, please.
Boring.
Man.
Boring. In the middle of watching that fight, I decided if I should keep watching that fight or find a place where I can go watch paint dry. I had to make a real big decision about that. I really did.
Well,
yeah,
I didn't believe that.
No, the significant thing is, like I said to you, Doc, is that Hayes did get into Klitschko's head. That's why he made him double gun-shy from the beginning to the end. The significant thing is, and this pertains to Emmanuel Stewart, from
right.
the first round, from the second round to the 12th round, he was screaming, beseeching, really getting into Klitschko's face because he refused to follow Manuel Stewart's orders and get more.
Okay,
Dusty,
now you telling me.
Oh, Colonel, yeah, that's true. In the corner.
Yeah. I want to.
Yeah, he did. He did that. Doc, he did.
Panel.
That's true.
Okay, hold on a second. Destino is a former Golden Glove champion himself, Cousin Bob, and he also is a retired 9/11 lieutenant in the police department. Lady A,
fire
department.
Fire. You said
fire
police.
Department. I'm sorry. Did I say police?
That's
yeah, you said police.
Something.
Yes, you did.
Okay, well, yeah, hey, yeah, because you didn't have the guts to be a real man.
Oh!
When five
crazy loonies run into a burning building, you got the blue shirt cops running out, so shut up.
Blue Canaries, Blue Canaries,
no, no, no.
Get it right.
You know what?
Blue
that
Canaries.
Was the case because the transit cop is the one that called for your help, baby. Colonel Buffet, Destino is a retired fire lieutenant. Lady A. Doesn't like to say it, but she is also a boxing resident female genius, but she's also a police lieutenant. C-Wings, Cedric Raymond, who celebrates the birthday. Everybody's
happy
birthday. Raymond. Cedric is a captain in the police department. Lewis is a legendary basketball player from back in Bronx. Cousin, he is from the same area in Brooklyn. Are you ready for this, Cousin Colonel Buffet? That brought us, okay, ready for this? Mike Tyson, okay,
wow.
Floyd Patterson, Riddick Bowe, Shannon Briggs, Mark Breland,
wow.
Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, Willie Randolph,
World
Fly
Be Free.
Williams, okay?
Wow.
Who else, Hoopsa? Who
World
else,
Be Free.
World Be Free.
Free.
World Be Free. Oh, my God.
All off of his neighborhood.
Wow.
And then we got Mel Smith Jr., Lou Coco. He's our former WF star. Little Coco was his name when he was in the world of the WWF. So Mel Smith Jr.
Absolute brutality, doctor. Absolute brutality.
Oh, man. And so these are part of our panel here. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake Rainbow, supporters of the show. We got Colonel, but there's our special guest, and we're talking some of everything. And Colonel, you know, we got some boxing. I guess the guy that always pops into everybody's mind when you talk boxing is none other than Muhammad Ali.
I want to ask about Ray Leonard. And
right,
we talked about, yes, what could Pacquiao, how would that work with Braylon and all that. But, you know, and I said it was tough for me to call anyway. Because, yeah, remember now, he's not only fought Hagler. Well, he's not only fought, he fought Marvin Hagler, too. I mean, that fight.
Think about Ray Leonard,
well.
And I said this about Ray Leonard, which you have to understand. Ray Leonard beat every great fighter of his era. He beat Wilfred Benitez, who was the youngest man ever to win a world championship. He beat the legendary Roberto Duran. He beat Tommy Hearns, and he beat Marvin Hagler. He beat every great fighter of his era. You know, and Harold Weston said, you know, I don't think too much of Ray Leonard. But, I mean, the guy beat, I mean, he beat Tommy once, and they drew. He beat Hagler the only time they fought. He beat Benitez the only time they fought. And, you know, he beat Duran, you know, two times.
Hey,
so, I mean, Go ahead.
Doc, I'm sorry to interrupt. Doc, let's just cut to the chase, okay? This may be my opinion, but I know that there's someone on the panel that will concur. Ray Leonard is one of the five greatest welterweights of all time, period.
Right.
Well, no, well, yeah. Listen, the thing that Marion Boykin said, Marion B. Boykin, the greatest boxing show working on boxing, and the B stands for Black Bodacious Breeding Brother, he said that's why when he picked the top four fighters of that era, you know, Duran, Hearns, Hagler, and Leonard, he put Duran number one, he said, because Duran came up. When he beat Ray Leonard the first time, he said Duran came up two weight classes and beat arguably the second greatest welterweight of all time. I mean, it's no question. I mean, Dusty, okay, you go back. Great welterweight. Ray Robinson's number one. Ray Leonard's got to be there. Emil Griffith's got to be there. And then after a while, I mean, Howard's got to be in the top ten. But if you're talking the top five, there's no question Ray Leonard's in the top five. That's it.
Yeah, Ray Leonard.
Without question.
You forgot guys under the Ray Robinson regime was Kid Gavilan and Johnny Bratton.
Oh, Kid
and
the
those
Bolo
dudes,
Bush, Kid Gavilan.
And
old
those,
school right there.
Those dudes were dudes who would fight light heavies and beat them. They were so good.
That's true.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Chuck Davey, Chuck Davey who fought Gavilan for the title was a southpaw. And what happens? Kid Gavilan, after all the hoopla, knocked him out, I think, somewhere in the 10th round. And the guy says, how were you able to beat him? I said, well, I trained to fight him as a southpaw. He said, why? Because Chuck Davis didn't know how to fight a southpaw. That's why I knocked him out as a southpaw. I mean, really. That was the explanation. It was comical, but, I mean, the man said he thinks he's going to beat me. I'm going to turn southpaw and I beat him southpaw and knock him out. But what I'm saying is that you forget a lot of these guys who have gone by. We are enamored with the Sugar Ray Robinson name. We are not, but we forget that underneath all these guys.
Charlie Burley.
I remember a guy over that.
What's that?
Doc, I remember once had a debate.
Oh, listen,
with,
Charlie Burley,
I remember the story.
Bob Kerbal Bay, they told the story that Ray Robinson was at his restaurant, and a friend of his said, "Hey, Ray, when are you going to fight Charlie Burley?" Ray looked at the guy and said, "Hey, man, I thought you were a friend of mine."
Oh!
That's how tough Charlie Burley was. When the guy asked Ray that, the guy said, "Ray said, hey, man, I thought you were a friend of mine."
But
I mean,
the comeback story to that was the fact that Burley was no money. You know, I told you that, Doc, that Ray Robinson fought the dude who brought the biggest purse. Charlie Burley brought no money. They said, why should I fight a tough dude like that when I'm not going to get recompense? Ray Robinson was a guy who said, I'm the champ. I get the champ's purse. I don't care if this guy's marquee. He's known all over the world. I'm the champ. He's fighting for me for my title.
We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with a little insight. That the concept of entourage came from Ray, who took his entourage to Europe to fight European. Randy Turbin. Okay, gang, nobody move. Little commercial break. Colonel Bethesda, our special guest. Don't nobody move. Everybody stand attention. Put your hands over your heart. It ain't the anthem, though, but it's going to be close enough for you.
Come on.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports Nep on the Blake. Radio by Rainbow Soul. Send Sports Nep show. The posse's in the house. Sea Wings. Lady A, WSL Little Coco, Dia Zusty, and the Hoopster, and our special guest, all the way from Washington, D.C., from the Pentagon, Colonel Robert L. Buffet, Jr., first ever African-American commander of JCS unit history, the United States military, out of Norfolk State, where Bobby Dandridge came from, and the rest of the crew. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, Pacquiao and Mayweather, both fighting this year. The mindset is down the line that maybe we can see both of the guys. We're going to do another quick little interview here. I think I may have got Jimmy Glenn and Burt Sugar together talking about the coming of Mayweather coming back. Now, Colonel Buffet, you have any thoughts on Mayweather? Do you like him? You think he's the best around? I mean, we know you're leaning toward Pacquiao, but your thoughts on Mayweather?
I think he is absolutely not the best. Number two, right now, you know, in the current modern era, I got to give it to Pacquiao. But that's just my
view on it. Hey, Doc, I have a name for Mayweather, Doc.
What's that?
I'm sorry, Colonel. I have a name for Mayweather, Doc. I call Mayweather ABP. Stands for anybody but Pacquiao.
Rooney, Rooney, there's a very good chance with that sort of attitude, you may not be back with us next week.
I didn't hear it.
Freedom ain't free, but this is Doc Sanders, so you just don't gorilla about my man now, Rooney. You know what I mean? Don't slam dunk him. Don't throw him against the ropes, Rooney.
I didn't hear it.
Hey, Doc, I don't blame him.
Hey, Colonel, but they understand, you know, Rooney grew up with Mike Tyson. Every now and then when he says something, he thinks Mike is standing behind him. You know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Let's talk one more time about the forthcoming fight, and we'll be right back. Another interview on Sports in Depth. We had another interview set to go here again. For Sports in Depth, anybody move? I thought I had somebody who had a call, so other people ready to talk. Oh, okay, we'll get to, oh, you know what it was? I had Burt Sugar and Jimmy Glenn
was there also. They both came in. So we're going to talk to them. I had a good interview with also with Mayweather. We'll get that later on. But let's go back.
Yeah, let's go back.
Ray Sugar and Jimmy Glenn.
Mr. Sugar, gentlemen,
all your own setters were all parts.
No, they're not a young man, don't get to be old men. First, Jimmy Hill, in the Atlantic Convention of the Boxing, MMA, Mayweather, a big shot in the Omaha boxing.
Come back, fight.
Well, it's important for boxing. I hope it's a page holder, not a page turner. Yeah, yeah. I hope it's one of those that sets up the fight that we've been waiting for 3 years. No, make that 30 years since Leonard Hearns.
Leonard Hearns, sorry.
Because there's so little interest in the heavyweight division, albeit there's a fight coming up.
Mr. Glenn, your thoughts. Mayweather coming back definitely advantageous to boxing?
Yeah, put something in boxing. People like him. I don't know what it is, but he's got charisma. And everybody's going to pay to see him work.
No, and not only that, we have questions, i.e., is this the Floyd Mayweather Jr. of old, or is it just an old Floyd Mayweather Jr.?
Wow.
16 months off. He is such a precision fighter. The question is, does he lose that little bit of precision?
But you got to figure that he has. Am I correct?
Well, if age would figure it. Look what happened to Wilfred Benitez, one of the classiest defensive fighters of all time. When he lost a little bit, he lost it all.
He sure did, Bert.
So we're looking, you know, to find out things in this fight.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Glenn, Ortiz, tough opponent, left-handed fighter. Tough fight.
Tough fight. But he'll come out on top.
You like him?
All right.
Bert, you picking him?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Because I think he is so practiced, so really expeditious about what he does. In the old fight terminology, he draws the lead so he can counter. He is great at that. And no matter how much he's been out, I think against Ortiz, he can do something.
Now, Mr. Glenn, with this fight come up, is there a chance we'll finally see Pacquiao Mayweather?
Yeah. Definitely.
But I have a question.
Go ahead.
It depends how both of them look in their setup fights. If Pacquiao shows a flaw, that'll make it happen. If Pacquiao looks better in his fight against Marquez, then Floyd looks against Ortiz.
That's a tough fight. Both of these guys have taken tough fights to come back.
Yes, but it's going to depend on those fights or the ultimate.
You talked about Mayweather's style. Is he reminiscent of anybody of your...
A couple fighters. Go back to Randy Turpin. He throws his shoulders like Randy Turpin did. He's got a quick left hook. Brilliant left hook. But he throws it one punch at a time. He rarely, except in later rounds, goes to what I would call flurries. And question. Last fight, Mosley, he was susceptible to a punch I've never seen him hit with before. That was a right hand.
Yeah, and so we're talking about time off and age once again.
Yes, and that was a time off before those two quick fights.
Bert, can't leave without just saying some reflections and thoughts of your good friend, our good friend, and legendary Bill Gallo.
Bill Gallo was dear to me, and his legend lives on. Through his cartoons, through his being one of the nicest people I ever met. And just because Bill Gallo was part of New York. And when we lost him, we lost a 70-year running, or walking, or drawing, part of New York.
Well, another piece of New York, another piece of boxing, and a man I love dearly too, Mr. Bert Sugar. Bert, thanks for being, man.
Thank you, Doc.
Okay. Mr. Glenn, so you're picking Mayweather. If they would do Mayweather Pacquiao, who would you go with?
Mayweather. I like Mayweather.
Mr. Glenn,
I think he's born to be a fighter.
Born to be a fighter. Does he remind you of anybody from
yesterday? He just got so much talent. I don't know what the layoff would do. He might make him rusty for a few rounds, but he'll be all right. Mayweather's strong.
Thanks for that.
Dr. Sports and Death, two legendary figures in the sweet science, Jimmy Glenn, renowned trainer, and Bert Sugar, historian, and both men are in the Boxing Hall of Fame. If not Glenn,
I'm
going to be there.
Can I comment on those things here? Number one,
we're letting the Colonel go first. Colonel, any thoughts or reflection on the interviews?
I
I'm a Pacquiao guy. I have a lot of respect for Mayweather. Mayweather's undefeated, okay? Undefeated. Mm-hmm. So I actually have respect for him, but I think he's going to come up just a little short for the first time if they ever make that fight with Pacquiao.
Now, would you be surprised to see him beat Pacquiao?
I kind of would, but at the same time, he's undefeated. I mean, so I don't know how many true undefeated guys we got left. He's one of them.
Mm.
I respect that record.
Mm.
And he's fought caliber, you know, really top notch guys. So I just kind of think, looking at the fights that I've seen and the way that Pacquiao was able to respond, I think I just think he might have the edge on us.
Pacquiao is going to win that fight, and I agree with you, is Pacquiao is going to make him for the first time make him fight. Make him go to absolute war. As the great Lady A says, he's not going to let him walk around and give
you
the shoulder.
You better stop. Now,
hold on, Doc. Let me make a point.
He's not going to let
Mayweather walk around with the shoulder and give him the shoulder all night. He's going to make him fight, make him war, and when the guy finally gets in a war with somebody who's going to be in front of him all night long to make him fight, I don't think he's going to win it.
Pacquiao made
I'm not going to go through all that. I'm just going to say he's going to beat your boy.
Do you still want to be part of
it? Doc, can I answer this thing?
The tag team duo now. Now he's left.
I told you before, and I said it before in the panel.
Yeah, yeah.
And I repeat it 1,000 times over.
2,007 times now.
Yeah. For the 1,000 times. Floyd has the tools. The tools and the counter punching, the speed to beat a Pacquiao. I haven't changed from that. But you got to look at the intangibles. You got to look at the intangibles, my friend.
Give us the intangibles.
The intangibles are, first of all, Floyd has been out 16, 17 months. He's 34 years of age.
Rusty.
He could be a gym rat. You could train in the gym and spar in the gym, but it's nothing like acclimating your mind and your body to the outside competition.
Okay, let's get to this.
Well, a person.
We're going to see how much heart he got, Doc. We're going to finally see how much heart he got.
Let me finish. Who?
Yeah, you got 45 seconds.
You're going to fight a guy who is not a sparring partner. You're going to fight a young man who has come into his own. And I've seen the interviews in Channel 41, Channel 47, Telemundo. He says, you know, people are talking about Mayweather picking me. I actually ask for Mayweather, this being Ortiz. Now, I asked for Mayweather because he was looking for an opponent. Remember, Paul, Doc, I told you his choice was Paul Spadafora. And I actually asked for the fight, and Golden Boy worked it out for me. That's what war fights. Now,
there's two things here. I mean, first of all, Ortiz asked for Mayweather. Smart move, because first of all, he may have thought Mayweather wasn't going to come out of retirement, for number one. Number two,
well,
he does come out of retirement.
Well, you know, you're cutting my program off.
Lady A, go ahead. Your 45 seconds is up. Go ahead, Lady A.
I know, when we were at the press conference, Doc, one of the main key things that Victor Ortiz had in his head, and one of the things he kept reiterating was the fact that he asked for Floyd so that he could set up his fight for Pacquiao, because he believes in his mind that he could beat Mayweather and get the cash cow fight with Pacquiao. Now, I don't know what he's smoking that's making him believe this, but it seems as though he has the mindset that Dusty was talking about last show, which was that
he really does believe it in his heart this time that he can pull this off. This is why I stated earlier, that I think that he has developed this mindset after that loss against Maidana that he can persevere and beat him. However, I don't think he has what it takes. You know, although I'm not taking away from the guy, you know, when we spoke to him, is very, you know, spoke very eloquently at the press conference.
I'm not taking anything away from that.
I mean, the guy's a nice guy. However, I just don't think when it comes to skill and being in a ring, he's going to be able to pull it off.
The proof will be the great line that you'll see it.
Hold on, Dusty. The great line that Mayweather once said, heart can get you killed in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's nobody on this panel, okay, that has astute boxing mindset that can seriously tell me that you think Victor Ortiz is going to be Mayweather. Okay? Now, here's the thing
that Coco was bringing
that.
Up that I got to kind of...
I'm not saying that. Okay, Lady A's got it.
I was just going to say, this is one thing that Coco was bringing up, which was that, you know, he believes that Pacquiao is going to fight Mayweather.
I think he thinks Mayweather's Jamaican.
Well, that's fine. I mean, everybody has their own opinion. But in my opinion, you know, one of the things I've seen, and one of the things that I don't know if a lot of people have actually caught, is the fact that Mayweather does not stand in the middle of the ring and fight somebody toe-to-toe. And if he does that against Pacquiao, no matter how great his defense is, I think he's going to have a problem.
He's going to get hurt.
Let's
not forget the fact that Pacquiao can throw punches from every single angle. I don't know if Mayweather is going to be able to overcome that.
I don't think he'll ever knock him out. Pacquiao will knock out Mayweather or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have two great fighters. Definitely Pacquiao is more superior in a lot of different ways, the speed, the punching. But
no, he's not faster. Pacquiao is not faster. Two thoughts here. First of all, that neither one of them is a great fighter. Both these guys are outstanding fighters. They haven't attained greatness. Maybe if one would beat the other, you could say that neither guy is great.
You're contradicting yourself because you said the greatest
Mayweather was great. Okay, don't tell me. I've never said that Mayweather was great. I've told everybody here that they're both outstanding fighters. Neither one of them guys is great. They're outstanding. They're not great. Ray Robinson was 77-0 before he got his first title shot. He retired at 132-2. Muhammad Ali beat every great fighter of his era. So did Ray. I've never said that Mayweather was great, and I've never said that. Mayweather is. He may be a great fighter of this era, neither guy is great. You can't other either
he's
guy.
He's not even great in this era. Bypassed too many guys.
Pacquiao's been fighting guys from top rank. Okay, how many great fighters
that
is Pacquiao
in front of him, Doc?
How many
those
great fighters
fight,
have,
don't
what,
want to fight
so,
him like
so,
Mayweather?
So what you're telling me is that so. It's all right if you put the chumps in front of Pacquiao, but now there's a problem when you put the chumps in front of Mayweather. Okay?
Well,
this is what you're telling me.
It's
like Roy Jones Jr. Everybody talking
thing.
About Roy Jones Jr.
Joe Lewis
and
had
he
a
didn't fight
of
this and that.
Campaign.
Roy fought
and he's the greatest
who they put in front of him. And now
what?
Roy Jones Jr. was a great fighter. Okay? But
well,
Roy
he was,
fought,
but at this
I mean,
point he needs to retire.
And then if you
point.
Talk. Yeah, but see, but the thing I understand about retirement, Rooney, is two things about this. First of all, Rooney, Larry Holmes once told me, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life and people are going to pay you. And guess what? Roy Jones Jr. is not a rocket scientist. So, you know, so he can't fall back to his lab.
And he doesn't have any alternatives.
Let me say this. Right. With the
Hold
money
on,
that he has made in... Okay.
Rooney. Two things
with
here.
With the money that
don't,
he has made
don't
in
count
his career,
his money, and
well,
you don't
I'm
know where his money went.
Doc, let me say something to you, okay? We've had this debate going on and off for a while now, right? This is not a business where you want to stick around and when you're past your prime, man.
Yeah, but Rooney, the reason why
Roy
Jones Jr. and Bernard Hopkins stay around because the guys that they can't. Do you think Bernard Hopkins
isn't getting brutally knocked out every other month, Doc? Roy is.
Well,
that's a
different question. Yeah, but okay, Roy hasn't gotten knocked out lately. Okay, but still, it's hard. It's hard, Rooney. It's hard. Joe Frazier had a classic line. Once you make a million, you can figure out something to do with another million. It's hard. I mean, Roy Jones Jr. should have never left the heavyweight. I don't know what him and Alton Ferguson were talking about. Roy should have stayed at heavyweight, and
he
everybody that wanted to afford him
so
should have came up.
So do you think that's the same thing with Evander Holyfield?
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think he should be retired.
Yeah.
But 5 years ago. Evander has two problems. He has two problems. He lost the fight he should have won for the title. He beat that Russian guy. He should have got the title.
You're wrong,
right.
Doc. You're wrong. Evander has many, many problems. Women,
I mean,
women,
well,
and more women.
I'm not talking about physical problems.
Wow.
No,
problems.
Children, and more children. Those
are
his
two
problems.
No,
children,
kids.
Wow.
It's children, kids. And more children. No, but his two problems is money. And his other problem is he had a fight that he should have won, and he still feels he can win the title. He still feels he can title. But you're right. But once again, I'm a promoter. I'm trying to get in the business. I can do a card with Holyfield. People are going to come see Holyfield.
Exactly.
So I can pay him. So I can pay him. I can make money. It's hard to stop doing. I'll never forget Robbie Parrish in the locker room over in New Jersey. He's with the Celtics. I say, Chiefs, what are you going to do next year? He said, I don't know. I said, Chief, what Larry Holmes said, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life. And what do you do? 2 more years with the Bulls, 2 more world championships. Yeah, it seems that way. And in today's game, and you know, Dusty, today's game, these guys are not that good. They're not that skilled. A Hopkins, Jones, a Holyfield, they can survive
there.
And make a payday.
The money is there. When they're throwing $3 to $5 million at Holyfield, I mean, your promoter says, look, I got $5 million for you to fight in Europe. You think I'm going to turn it down? Of course.
That's not real nice. Hey, Doc, all that money's real nice, okay? But 3-4 years later, because these guys hung around too long, and they're going, who am I? Where am I? What does that mean? You tell me.
Rooney, they're not wrestlers. They're boxers, Rooney.
No, just tell me. Tell me that. When all that dough is spent and gone, and 3 or 4 years later, and they sign the band, and he's like, Where am I? What does that mean?
Let me ask you a question. Did you guys
realize
the purse
when
last night's purse? Last night's purse?
No,
David Haye and Klitschko have parity. David Haye was thinking about parity with Klitschko. And they split a pot. Yes, and Let me tell you. And they split a pot of between 20 or 25 million each for that fight last night. For that garbage.
Right.
They walked away with 25 million each almost. I mean, that's where the money is. I mean, who wouldn't want to continue fighting?
Hey, Dusty, better count that money and invest it well, Jack, if he's going to give them those kind of performances.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be around too long either.
And our boy Klitschko better learn how to stop pushing people down to the mat. How about
that?
Yeah, I know.
Rooney, you can go over and get some wrestling skills. Hold on, gang. Let's get to the thing. We're going to go. We're going to talk basketball for a second. Hold on. Okay, everybody. The Colonel's
got
to go. Everybody say goodnight to
Colonel
Bethea.
Good night,
Colonel. Good luck to you.
Thank you,
so much for letting me have an opportunity to listen.
Y'all have a great 4th of July weekend.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Colonel, anything particular you'd like to say, any thoughts you'd like to leave with us before you go? Words of wisdom?
Thanks for the opportunity to let me listen in on this great conversation.
And it's no doubt that Millie Mays is the greatest ever.
Who's that?
Cuz, thanks a lot. Love you now.
Okay, take care. Y'all be good.
Thanks, Colonel.
Be
thanks,
safe.
Colonel.
Be safe.
Just a tremendous young man. Plays the piano and everything. Hey, Hoopster, let's get to you. And we got to get back to Seaweed. What's happening with the basketball lockout? What's happening with that?
They're going to talk to him next week. They shut down everything right now. So nothing ever to next week.
Well, now, what's your thought, Hoopsa? Are we going to have another lockout like we had a few years ago?
Doesn't look good at all, Doc. Not at all.
Really?
It might be shut out for two seasons.
What?
Are you serious?
Exactly.
Stop, Hoopsa. Stop. You serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, he's right. You have to look at that press conference, right?
They're not looking good, man. Nope.
That press conference.
Might be two seasons.
And the
you're talking two seasons?
Yep. And the
seasons,
Doc. It comes in threes. My son and I discussed the possibility that, suppose baseball gets locked out. So we're out of the three major sports.
Hockey. We're all hockey fans now.
We're going to become hockey fans.
Hey, replays.
Go.
You're going to be fans of replays,
golf.
Doc.
Forget that. I'm playing golf.
Golf.
So Tiger Woods might not even come back.
Who knows? Tiger
is you're right. There's some talk that Tiger may miss the rest of this year.
He has a bad leg.
Doc, I'm going to catch some heat for saying this.
I'm sorry. I'm going to catch some heat for saying this, but I got to be honest. His best days are behind him, man.
Yes,
he'll never get to the start. That Tiger's done. Finished. Adios, amigo. It's done with Tiger.
Hold on, Rooney. Go ahead.
I have to agree with you with that one. I think he's done.
Absolutely.
Once he got that injury and he had the scandal with the women,
He's not done. He's speaking to another woman in his life. He's not done.
Even after he lost his father.
Stop.
When he lost his father, he was on the down. Because his father was
downgrade.
That was his world. And you saw him go down after he lost his father. He took that very hard. I think he
That Masters, he let the Masters get away, but he regrouped enough to win the British Open. And I remember after winning the Open, on the 18th hole, he just broke down and cried because his dad wasn't there.
But
we look back, Tiger almost pulled off the Masters. I mean, if he eagles that hole instead of birdies and birdies the next hole, he'd have went in two under. It's a different tournament when you're two strokes behind Tiger Woods as opposed to being two strokes in front of Tiger Woods. And I think injuries. Somebody said when he gets healthy, and he's going to have a run in the next 2 years. He's going to healthy, and he's going to come back. The field is not.
Instead, he
didn't play in the Open. That's what people talk about what a great tournament the kid had, but that was a great course, and it wasn't the toughest of courses. It wasn't the best of fields. I mean, the guy had the best round of golf. In some very good rounds of golf played. Injuries, I still thought that whole thing with Tiger was, what he did in his personal life was personal. And I thought his wife somehow should have kind of had a whole different attitude. You know what I mean? But, you just never know what's going on. But I just thought it's not like he had one or two girlfriends. I mean, if he had all he had. Yeah, but not only that, his wife was a heck of a lady, too. I mean, that's the question there. I mean, why would Tiger Woods, with a woman like that at home, be out there, not only out there messing with other women, but paying for other women?
I mean, stop. You know it happens all the time. He was paying for these women. Should we go and talk Yankees? Alex Rodriguez, who was married and had a kid? Come on, stop. It happens all the time.
No.
Magic Johnson, man. Magic Johnson, look what happened to him.
Before marriage,
nothing. He was engaged to be married, and the lady was pregnant.
He was married.
Yes,
he him and Cookie
did.
Were
don't
married.
They were
he
married when that happened.
He was getting married.
Dusty, he was married to Cookie,
married.
And he told Cookie, look, if you want to divorce me, go ahead. Okay?
Right.
And Cookie told him, are you crazy? Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about not what I think about, it's what I know. He was married to Cookie, and he told Cookie, hey, look, boom, boom, boom. She said, no. Are you crazy? Lovely Miss Cookie. She said, no. He was married when he made the announcement that, he had the virus.
Oh, he
not
was
a great on the plate.
Okay,
the
I stand corrected.
For the show.
Make
hey, Doc, you know another reason why it's about this lockout's all about, too?
Go ahead, Hoopsa.
Most of it with these big contracts also. They try to put down a try to land a little stand on these big contracts. That's another reason
why. Yeah, but you know, but this is funny that the owners.
Yeah, I know.
It's the owners who are paying these guys. It's crazy.
I know.
That with the free agency with baseball, they all of a sudden they wanted to stop. I remember what somebody told Catfish Hunter. They said, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that all the other owners wanted to screw Charlie Finley, Catfish wouldn't have got the money that he got. If it wasn't for the fact that everybody wanted to screw Charlie Finley, that Catfish wouldn't have got the money that he got. Now, the owners, they kill me with this. Now they want to start. They're the ones signing these guys. They're the ones giving the guys the money. I mean, the money didn't come from Mars. The fans didn't vote for the guys. The owners are the ones paying these guys, and all of a sudden, they want to stop it.
Yeah.
Those are the guys in Texas.
It's like
$250 million, man.
Huh?
Well, it's the same thing with football, too.
Yeah.
They want the players to get back $1 billion in concessions.
Yeah. And look
at the players like, are you crazy? $1 billion in concessions? I mean, come on. The way players that work for this, I mean, you know, and the simple thing, I remember Eric Swan told me that every year the players voted that they wanted natural grass against AstroTurf. And every year, the AstroTurf won. How does it happen? Everybody plays against AstroTurf, and yet every year AstroTurf wins. Crazy. It's crazy. Doc Stanley, Sports Network,
cheaper,
on the Blake Rainbow Soul, Sports
cheaper.
Network, the show
cheaper to
we had earlier, as we salute the 4th of July, Colonel Robert Overthay Jr., the first ever African American commander in the history of the JCSU unit out of Norfolk State, which brought us some outstanding basketball, some great ones, Bobby Damage, and that area. Also, we had none other than Charles Oakley from the Knicks, and in the Scope area, where the legendary Dr. J first used to operate from. And we're talking baseball. Hall of Fame is coming up, and Roberto Alomar, and, you know, you kind of look at this thing. Roberto Alomar should have been voted in last year.
That's your boy, Doc.
You know, he should have been voted in last year, being the first Hispanic player to get in on the first ballot. I mean, Clemente got in because of he had died. But, I mean, here's a guy, 10 gold gloves, considered the greatest defensive second baseman of the era, a lifetime 300 hitter. I mean, how does this guy not get in on first ballot?
You know why, Doc.
How is this
that incident
that
with that ref, that umpire.
Yeah, that umpire thing hurt him a lot, Doc.
Yeah, but you know what?
I don't buy that. Because I remember Eddie Murray told me. I never get Eddie Murray. You know, it's amazing that those incidents always can hinder a black or Hispanic, but they never stop a white guy. It's amazing. They always hinder us, but they never hinder them. And why is that? Because it's them voting for us. I mean, people don't realize how great Eddie Murray was to go first ballot in wake of all the bull crap that he kept hearing, you know, when he was a player. And I remember we talked about some of the last time. Everybody said, well, you know, Doc, man, you know, you can't judge guys from different eras. Yeah, you can't. But as a kid, no matter how old you are, you always heard that the best player that ever played baseball was who? Babe Ruth. But nobody judged Babe against the competition. But when you say, Doc, you can't judge guys against eras. Yeah, but how come Babe Ruth was always the greatest baseball player ever lived? Babe Ruth. But to say something to another side for the longest time, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time was Joe Louis. I remember Art Russ told me, well, you know, my time, my era. But, I mean, we're looking it's just crazy. See, I mean, here's a guy that should have been first ballot Hall of Famer without question. I mean, it's sad. Because all the things change, they remain the same. And, you know, it's always sad that the racism always raises ugly head and plays a vital part in it. And you always see it so much as well. Mayweather talked about that, too, the other day. Mayweather said, you know what? I've never suggested that Pacquiao is on steroids, okay? But what I'm saying here is, I think our sport should be tested, okay? What I'm saying here is, if I'm going to lose, I want it done straight up. He said, it's an amazing thing, he said.
He did say that.
He's a liar. He's a
he also said, but Doc, remember, he also said that it's amazing how whenever I dub fighters, it's always, they say that I always dub fighters, it's Bob Arum fighters.
No, not only that, Ellaby said the same. In fact, what he said too was, you know, here's Barry Bonds, an American. Here's Barry Bonds, an African American. Here's Barry Bonds, who's never been proven guilty, but he's suspect. But here's Pacquiao, a foreigner. Queen is a driven snow. No allegations, no suspect. And he said, here's the thing, Bonds, Sammy Sosa, McGuire, they're hitting baseballs. Me and Pacquiao, we're hitting each other. No, no, no. He said, I've never asked for anything. And you know, and the amazing thing about this too is, you know what? That everybody says, you know what? And a lot of people have said that Mayweather's right. But who's Mayweather? And it's not because it's who's Mayweather. It's because he's an African American.
Oh,
that's where
come
the question
on,
comes
Doc,
in.
Don't say that, man.
Now the next thing is, the next thing is,
I'm with Dusty, Doc. Sounds a little weak.
We look at Aram. We look at Aram. And now he brought this point up too. How does Margarito still have a job in boxing? You banned Panama Lewis on assumption. Okay? You banned Panama Lewis for life and didn't prove it entirely. Pacquiao was caught dead wrong! Dead wrong! And now he's still fighting.
Yeah,
they
be right,
the politician in his hand. And the man
a
is still fighting.
Lawyer
the man is still fighting. Now, why is
it? I don't even think Margarito should be fighting. I protested that fight myself.
Right. But
I protested the last fight.
Let's go back to the core.
But wait, man. But Dusty, correct me if I'm wrong. They're talking about having a Margarito fight.
Margarito
Rito,
December 3rd.
Well, that's
December 3rd.
If I was Cotto, I would walk away because that's an insult to Cotto.
Nah, lady, we talking about
Cotto.
He's not gonna walk away from that.
You can't walk away because he's a top ranked fighter. If Margarito was a Don King fighter, Margarito and Don King would have been banned for life.
You know why this talk about a Cotto Margarito?
There's not talk.
Cotto,
I heard it's done.
No, it's a done deal. Listen to me.
I heard it's December 3rd.
Because of the fact that Cotto and Bob Arum open up a promotional thing in Puerto Rico.
I don't care what they open up. Margarito shouldn't be fighting.
Listen. I agree with Doc.
Listen.
There's nothing to talk about. That makes it even worse, Dusty. That you're telling me that Bob Arum and Cotto promoted together. They're top ranked guys. They're top ranked guys.
Listen to me, man. Cotto himself
There's nothing to listen
said,
to, Dusty.
What's to listen to?
The guy shouldn't be fighting.
Cotto himself has said, I don't mind getting revenge on Margarito. He's far away from my
What's Cotto supposed to say, Dusty? What's he supposed to say? He's going to get paid.
For God's sake,
he's a puppet.
No.
They're all puppets.
Well, so is Mayweather. He's a puppet of Ellaby. Does not let him talk.
LB works for Mayweather. Those guys work for Aram. Okay? Aram's credibility. Okay? Let's go back to Aram's credibility. Okay? First of all, Aram's credibility should be out the window that he should be even dealing with Margarito. Should be out the window.
There you go.
Let's go back to De La Hoya and Trinidad.
Listen to reason.
Okay?
Listen
Don
to reason.
King
okay.
Don King tells Bob Arum
okay.
the deal you give me
20,000 times. Go ahead.
And you're going to hear it again because it's Doc Stanley.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? When the deal is done, let's flip the deal. But when the deal got tangibly done, you never saw a De La Hoya and Trinidad
Absolutely.
Fight too.
Absolutely.
And why?
Absolutely.
Why didn't
right.
you see it too? Why?
You're right. So it didn't happen. But what I'm trying to make you understand.
But why didn't it happen, Dusty?
Nothing happened. So what I'm trying to make you understand.
Can't answer that.
De La Hoya went out to Tito Trinidad personally. He went to Puerto Rico to fight, and Tito Trinidad
said, De La Hoya tried to make that fight, not top rank.
You're absolutely right.
De La Hoya.
You're right. because he was a golden boy. He wanted the revenge for Tito Trinidad. It didn't happen. But what I'm trying to make you understand here is the fact that these guys here do what they want to do. Now, there's the connection. Jerry Jones has a big stadium in Dallas. He's a good friend of Bob Arum. Bob Arum is a federal lawyer. I mean, Texas okayed Margarito's license. Understand that. No state approved it except
seats,
Texas. That's why he fought.
100,000 seats.
Right. And
right.
If it hadn't been for that, he never would have fought in Texas or Chobunk or Hoboken or anywhere. The state
What's that got to do
that.
With the fact that he still fight? He shouldn't be fighting, does he?
What's
the bottom
fact
line?
Of the matter is that he's
only okay, where he's fighting.
Where,
he shouldn't be fighting in the 107th Street projects. He shouldn't be fighting
right
anywhere.
No, you guys just fail to realize
right.
one thing, too. You're not, you guys
right.
are not looking at this.
Go ahead, Lady A. Hold on,
no,
go
I'm just
lady.
Saying you guys are failing to realize this, too. How in the hell did Margarito get two, not one, but two high cash paying fights? He fought
yeah.
Mosley
and
he fought
fights.
Pacquiao.
They're both title
because,
fights.
Because that day of the Mosley fight, the commission saw the violation. They didn't arrest him. They let the fight go on. This is what you got to understand. The commission permitted.
I understand
the
that
fight
you also want
to
top rank.
Well,
I'm going to say this. Okay, you're top rank guys.
Doc and Dusty, I believe officially now. Didn't he serve a year suspension? Officially,
he served a year suspension and a $100,000 fine.
Rooney,
his
a year is not a lifetime. Did he die in that year?
No,
did he die during that year?
Doc,
well,
I agree with you.
This is what they
yeah.
do.
Doc,
is
hold on a second.
If he's
Stop
not
a second,
dead,
guys.
If he's not dead, then you know what? Then it should. Because he died, that'd have been a lifetime. Okay.
Thank you.
He's not dead. If
but
he's not dead,
thing, Doc,
okay.
Doc,
just like Panama Lewis, who got
Doc,
a lifetime
add,
ban.
Just to add
and
to the
what,
tag
gentlemen?
Team approach over here, Doc.
Okay,
the
you know what?
Team approach.
This is up to discuss. The board
right,
should have been banned for life the way Panama Lewis
That's
was banned for life.
That's your opinion. That's your
it's
opinion.
Not my,
but he,
it's,
listen,
it's,
Doc,
my opinion
Doc, Carrito could have killed Cotto. He could have killed Cotto in the ring. What I do not understand is us seeing and watching the fight over and over again, okay, how this guy, knowing, because he's trying to say, oh, I didn't know, knowing that his hands had plaster on it, all right, made it through 12 rounds. If you guys look at the tape and see how Cotto looked, I mean, he was destroyed. He was destroyed after that
yeah,
fight.
He was messed up. Yeah,
okay?
Sure was.
He was destroyed after that fight. If he
would
have died in that ring.
Got. That's the worst beating he ever got, yes.
But that was a wet, that was ass whipping.
Okay, so now you're going to tell me that this same guy that supposedly is his promoter, he's going
to
have him fight this guy again? That's a slap
well,
in the face.
This is what I'm
That's a slap
to
in the
make
face.
You guys understand.
Whether it's wait, Dusty,
that,
whether it's
that,
to
that,
prove whether it's to prove that he's a better fighter or
no,
not
no,
or this
no,
that, no, he should not be allowed.
This
to
is
fight.
A fight
Gordo
that shouldn't be happening.
No
fight attached with Margarito. And the bottom line is, like I said, if it was Don King, they both would have been banned from boxing. It's a black
yeah,
and white issue.
It's
that simple. It's that easy.
If you don't let him do the fight,
Doc,
if you don't let
him
do the fight,
your opinion.
I don't think it's a black. You know what, Doc? You're making it a black and white thing. It's not a black and white thing. It's a green thing. It's about money.
What all of you are missing is
hold on,
all of you are missing
because the money. Is this
what all of you are missing is that if you don't let them do the fight, you're actually penalizing not so much Margarito, but you're penalizing Cotto.
What?
It's a big
Tony,
money
Rooney,
fight.
Take that,
it's
take
a,
that
it's
and jam
it
because Cotto can fight
it's
a million
a,
other
it's
people.
A big
I mean, Margarito's not
fight.
The only guy that he can fight. Margarito's not the only guy that he can fight. You know,
that's
I'm going to tell
point,
you something about Ray Leonard. I'm going to tell you something
that's
about Ray Leonard. When Ray Leonard, I'm going to tell you, no, he's even better. Customato. Okay? Customato was adamant that Floyd Patterson not fight Sonny Liston. Adamant. Jose Torres told me.
That's why they broke.
And then to show, now here's a guy that stood on his principle. To show how serious he was, when Patterson fought, listen, those two times, he refused to take his gut as manager. Now, you telling me, Rooney, that Margarito is the only guy that Cotto can fight? Are you telling me
no,
that?
No, he's not the only guy with the fight. No.
Okay, Rooney, you said no, right? You said no, right? You said no. Now, the bottom line here, my panel.
Music in the background, man.
Even though you and I know it's bogus and tainted, officially he holds a win over Cotto, and he wants to defend that
card. That's exactly what Cotto said.
I can listen to all the bullshit, but that's what it is. It's bullshit. Okay,
yeah,
it's straight up bullshit. Quit running it on me. The boy, Margarito should not be fighting anybody because Margarito should be banned for boxing, just like Panama Lewis is banned for boxing. The powers to be in this case is Bob Arum and Jerry Jones. Texas. Can this boy fight any other place in Texas?
That's the power.
Commercial break. Yeah, everybody just be careful. Everybody keep quiet. Let's do a commercial break here. You know, it's getting ridiculous here. The powers of
B. Everybody, be this.
Be quiet. Okay, here we go.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Wow. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All-Star Game ballot was today announced. The Robinson Cano, Derek Jeter, and Alex Rodriguez will be the starters.
Jeter got the vote at
shortstop. So, it's a start for him. And we're also going to have Mario Rivera, who is the pitcher with the most appearances in relief on one team, anybody in the history of baseball. All-star ballots have been tabulated, Hall of Fame induction this year. We'll try to get him to Roberto Alomar, who probably is the greatest all-around second baseman of this era, probably the best since Joe Morgan, and right up in the class with Jackie Robinson and Joe Morgan. I think he's a 300 hitter, too, which is rare for a second baseman. So he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. We talked about the boxing fights. We got a new winner at Wimbledon today. Nadal was beaten. This is amazing. Cedric, now, Hoops, let's get back to you guys. We got a few minutes left. We can do a box. Cedric, you telling me, actually, if they start the season and cut out some of the preseason game, I think everybody will be kind of happy with that. But Hoops, are you telling me there's a possibility of 2 years of no professional basketball?
Exactly what I'm telling you. Maybe 2 years. That's the truth. That's right. I'm sorry to say that, but it looks that way.
Better have more boxing fights every month, I'll tell you that.
Doc, it appears that they want to break both unions. They want to break the basketball players' union, and they want to break the football players' union. They really want to make a serious impact.
What's that?
And, Doc, there's another reason why, because, you know, the players make more than the owners. So now the owners want a 50-50 split.
Really? Also, who's this coach with the Lakers now?
Mike Brown.
That guy used to be at Cleveland, right?
Yeah, so Kobe's not talking. Kobe's already pissed off about that choice. So.
Are you serious?
He's not happy. He wants Brian Shore to be the coach. He's not happy. He's not talking to nobody. He just had surgery, too,
okay,
Doc.
Okay, gang. We got 90
seconds. He just had surgery.
Sport to death with the mic on and the lights off real quickly. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil, the Blake with the Rainbow Sports Devil, the show. We send happy birthday once again to our own Sea Wings and the legendary Larry Hardesty, the man who closed the show.
Oh, it's his birthday, too. Happy birthday, Larry. Wow, I know his birthday.
Yeah, yesterday. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's social system. Urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And forgive not occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. Gang, don't move. Love you all. Don't say a word. Carol, thanks for being with us. Trust in God. Larry Hardesty, do it, baby. Do it. Dear Lord, thank you. And praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Larry, do it.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth
with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
All right, gang, that's it. So we got us another good half hour. We want to talk a little more. We kick out. Everybody wants to go. We'll talk a little more.
Yeah.
How much time we got, Doc? Another half?
Huh?
How much time do we have?
Well, we just did that 2 hours, so we can kick for another 15 minutes.
Right.
You know?
Let me say this right off the bat, okay? Before the basketball, you know. By the way, see you again, a happy birthday to you. Let me say this. I'm not fooling around now, okay? And, lady, I really want this to go right to you. I told you Hayward Dorner selling a lot of Wolf tickets and a lot of yapping, wasn't going to do
Who's
a
that?
Damn thing. You know, when these guys, David Hay. Is it David Hay?
Yeah.
I told this guy was going to do all this yak, show up and walk around, which is basically what he did.
But you know what? I mean,
around.
In watching a fight, the one thing that and of course, all praise to Emmanuel Stewart. I mean, he's probably one of the best trainers out there.
Hands down.
But one of the biggest things that I found about Hay was, and I don't know if you guys kept saw this. He was parrying a lot of shots and slipping and rolling a lot of
exactly.
The
it was
punches.
Raining out there too.
Yeah, and you know what? And the thing was, while I was watching it, I was like, if it's not for this guy when he's trying to come in, it was like the times that he was trying to come in, it looked like he was trying to set up that shot, the big shot, and then when he would come inside, it was like he'd hit him a couple of times. And then Klitschko would just throw him to the ground, and I'm like,
exactly.
What's going on here? He knew
That's
off the
exactly.
bat that if he
That's
got
exactly
inside on him, if
right.
he got inside on him, he was going
to
hurt him.
But I got to tell you, and Dusty, you being a champion fighter, I didn't see any body work.
No,
barely
not at
saw
all.
The
no
jab.
Body shots.
Nope.
No.
Work to the body.
Nope. No body shots.
Inside a guy just throwing wild right hands.
But again, I wasn't impressed with Klitschko. Again, another fight I was impressed with Klitschko. What is he doing? The 0-1-2, jab, jab, right. Jab, right.
You know he's going to throw the jab on like Lady A. You don't watch no film of this guy. You know what he's going to do.
Hey, Lady A, you know him and his brother got all the belts now.
Right.
I know.
The thing here was Klitschko. And I said to you, Doc, was the fact that David Hay did get into the man's head.
He did.
He was more Klitschko. Was more gun. See, I'm talking ghetto now. Klitschko was more intimidated than he's been intimidated by other fighters.
Yeah.
I, being David Hay, and please listen to this one. My being David Hay, I got into his head. When the bell rang, I would have cold-cocked Klitschko.
Exactly.
Out of his corner.
I would have been
exactly.
Tyson. He wasn't walking in on him, Dusty.
Exactly.
If he'd have been Tyson
right.
David Hay started stepping back. I said, damn it, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Stay on top of him. That's you should have
done. He should have gone right after him and pounded
If you guys
him
paid attention to late in that fight, he
right.
rocked Klitschko. I think it was
in
like the 10th, 11th fight. He didn't take advantage of it. He didn't take advantage of
it. Mr.
But
Bissett,
it was when it was
too little, too late.
Because when Klitschko got hit with that solid right hand, he grabbed him like a long-lost octopus and won't let him go. He was doing that throughout the whole fight. Klitschko will never jab or throw a shot to the body, right? Psychologically, his head is not protected. He's going to stand tall like Emmanuel Stewart taller. But Emmanuel Stewart, if he doesn't get fired or he quits Klitschko from the anger that he showed, you know, he probably stayed it because it's his cash cow. But
this guy made no adjustments during the course of the entire fight. He did the same thing in round 12 that he did in round 1.
When you look at the end and you see who was standing up, who looked more hurt, Hay or Klitschko?
Klitschko, he got messed up. His face got messed up.
I'm with you. I'm sorry.
His face got messed up. He had a muscle in his eye. Yo, he was jacked up, man.
My point is that to be a dude that's fighting for a championship belt, that's supposed to be in a championship belt, and then the guy to the fight, the guy's going to show me his toe and complain about it.
He took the money, Holmes.
But, hey, Lady A, did he move up to heavyweight? He was a cruiserweight, right?
Yeah,
he moved
But you know what I think?
I think one of the things was
he wasn't intimidated like all these other guys to him. You know, remember he fought that big.
Exactly.
He fought that big. What's that big tall Russian guy's name again? The big one. He's
Valuev.
But the fact
that
is that he didn't throw.
He
didn't throw
his, had no talent. The guy's a big stiff.
He didn't throw his punches in combinations. This is what Hay didn't do. When you throw a right hand, and I've been in boxing 11 years, when you throw a right hand and connect, your left hook is closer to your opponent's body. And this is what I was looking for Hayes to do, to throw the right hand. And
you know, Dusty, I just think he was trying
to
tactically, he was just trying to set himself up to go inside. It's like Coco said, he didn't change his game plan. Once he saw that that wasn't working, he needed to
offensive imagination.
Yeah,
he showed that he had to interrupt you. Right,
he
no offensive imagination whatsoever.
He should have thrown more punches, and if he threw more punches, when he connected with the right hand, he threw his hook, he threw other punches, he would have gotten Klitschko. Klitschko would have, here is Emmanuel Stewart screaming, "Where's your hook?"
Yeah, he was screaming at him. He was pissed with him.
And you're letting Hayes eat up the last 30 seconds of each round. This man is going to hurt you. Go out there and fight him and stop him. He won't do anything.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You got a lot of fights coming up too, right, Lady A?
Yep.
Yeah, well,
I know Zav's fighting
and
July 17th.
And Bradley and Khan. Khan and Bradley are due up next, and I'm waiting for that too.
And
Paul Williams is fighting too, right, Lady?
And that's
Paul
the
Williams,
guy that's
sorry.
I'm looking for.
Paul Williams, yeah, Paul Williams is coming
the
up, and then you got
he got
Khan
beat up
Judah.
Last time. He got knocked out last time, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's fighting
he got dropped.
He's fighting a Cuban expatriate, 15-0, at Islandi Laura. Now, the interview with Laura, and I got it on Telemundo, he says, "People think that I'm training to fight the guy that Maravilla knocked out. No, I'm fighting the guy who's a two-time world champ. I know his history. I'm preparing for him. I'm not the guy that got knocked out. That fight to me doesn't mean anything. His history, his record is the one that I'm looking at. This guy, 15-0, there's about 10 or 11 Cubans who expatriated living in Miami, and man, this is a whole community out there. Gamboa, Arislandi, Rigando, there's four or five other Cubans. Bantamweight, there's a light heavy. These guys are all 200 and 300 amateur fight bronze medalists.
Duran was training at Cepillo, you know that, right?
Right.
He was training Cepillo?
Yeah, he was training at Cepillo. I think he's still out there training fighters still down in Miami.
The last time I talked to Duran, he says, "Look, I don't want to train fighters because they don't want to do what I tell them."
Yeah,
and
don't listen.
I quit on them.
That was 3 years ago.
He said he had no patience. He didn't want to deal with them suckers, and he will help promote, but he will not train any one of them. If he's training at Cepillo, I don't know what for. Cepillo's finish. And speaking of finish, Jermaine Taylor wants to come back.
Nobody
wants to train him.
I know you know what I'm going to say, Doc. Another guy that should stay retired.
Emmanuel Stewart was training him, and he gave up on Emmanuel.
Yeah, but he quit on him. Emmanuel Stewart gave up on him. But what I'm saying to you is that Klitschko will be the Dragos of the Rocky movies. They will not fight any other way. They're programmed to fight that way.
They don't have to fight any other way, Dust. The guy is 6'6", 245.
And
plus, you never fight out of the United States. You always stay in other states. You never come to the States, though. I don't know why.
Not since they had that fight in the Garden and knocked out that kid in the Garden. That was it.
Broadcasting
to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports Death is a show. Happy birthday once again. C-Wings, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, C Wings is still with us. Happy birthday to Larry Hardesty and Jose Canseco. Yesterday, first man to do 40-40. Larry, longest tenure of African American sportscast in history in New York City, makes him the greatest of all time. And you can see here, gang, those of you across the world, the panel here, we have our opinions. We differ. And you're right, we can't see under 12 o'clock anymore because both Little Coco and Dusty have to be back at Ward's Island at the Psychotic Award. So we can't stay any time. We apologize for that. And,
Did I say that? Yeah, you said that. Not only did you say that,
Doc, but you let the world in on one of my little secrets. I'm the first person. I'm the first person that I know of that has a black straight jacket. Yes.
I got a story for y'all.
And both Sea Wings and Lady A, you know, as you know, and people across the world, scan the globe, Mars, don't get any better than my panel. My panel can do it all. We love them. We're the best. We're family. I remember I came in one day, and I always used to hang my vest in the summertime on the outside of my locker because, you know, it could dry overnight, so that. And I couldn't find my vest. It wasn't in front of my locker. Sometimes I'd put it on the behind another. Couldn't find the locker. So I called my squad sergeant. He says, "Yo, Stanley," I said, "I can't find my vest." So he says, "Well, what do you want to do?" I said, "Well, let's make a 67. You know what I mean? He found it. So he made the 67. About a month, 2 months later, coming the guy says, "Stanley, they found your vest." "Well, it's in the back." He said, "Nah." I said, "One of the rookies had it on last night." I said, "Yeah, yeah." He was robbing a liquor store, and they shot him with your vest on.
Oh.
I said, "What?"
Yeah.
So what had happened was this rookie had taken my vest and was using it in stick-ups. And I'm thinking, what about if I had said, "Nah, don't worry about it, it's just a vest." Because you know what had happened, and my two superior officers know what had happened right away. In my last year of retirement, all sort of allegations would have come from a negative standpoint of view. Now it wouldn't have been just a missing vest; it would have been, "Hey, he's down in on it. He knew what was going on."
They could have went to the guys
and said, "Hey, look, we know Stanley's in. We'll go easy on you." Stanley knew, and the guys would have said, "Oh yeah, Stanley's in on it." But you know, I put the form in, said that it was been stolen. I thought about them when you said the black vest. Yeah, but the black vest. But okay, gang, let's get back to it. They're still talking. It's about the time.
Can I just capitalize this? Everything that he did or has been doing in Germany all this time, he's like Ricky Hatton, he got away with it in Manchester. He's doing it in Germany. He is a type of, he would lean on Hayes, bent them over, put his arms and elbows on a man. Now, that is a tactic that's used sometimes to tire out a fighter. The reason being that it was brought out is because Hayes says, "I'm not going to withstand this weight." He will double up his knees and go to the floor. And that's when he got the point taken away from him. But if you see Emmanuel Stewart, God bless him, went out and jumped all over Gino Rodriguez.
He sure did. Yeah, he was pissed.
But by the same token, he did his share of flopping. The guy looked like Greg Lardenis doing a dive into the deep water.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
If you remember, he took a dive once and the ref just started counting them out.
But that was after Emmanuel Stewart got after Gino Rodriguez. Because that was a knockdown by Klitschko. So he went, I said, "Hey, the heck with it. I'm not going to be." And the guy says, "No, now I'm going to count. I'm going to give you a count for going down." But I would have done the same thing. Because in boxing, you don't let a guy lean on you, man. You don't let him lean and put his full body weight. Man, this is an old trick from way back.
The reality is this. I mean, the panel. This is a question to the whole panel. I mean, were you really impressed with that win? I mean, the guy is.
What?
There's nothing
what
spectacular
win?
About the guy, the way the guy boxes. Nothing.
There was no win. There was no win. There was nothing. It was a waste
of
money.
Piece of crap. That was a waste. Waste of TV.
Jim Lafferty said something. Jim Lampley said, well, you know, 51,000 people paid to see a pay-per-view. I said, what pay-per-view? I didn't pay to see this garbage. So it must have been in England that they
paid. That was a gift to all the people who paid good money to see that rumble. An absolute disgrace.
There's 51,000 people. That, you know, another thing, too, about boxing that I noticed, this show business. Did you see the half-hour show business, the entrance?
Lennox Lewis
and George Foreman?
No, the show before they came in, the music.
If I may say,
they took all of that from wrestling. Thank you. They took all of it from wrestling. The big screen showing the guys beforehand, the music, all from wrestling. Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, and that to me is dangerous because if you see as your fighters coming down the aisle, one of them crazies could stick his finger in his eye, hit him. Cause an injury, and the fight is going to be
canceled. Well, the security there was a joke. I mean, I said to myself, I couldn't believe that they were allowing these people, and they had no barriers set up, nothing. It was like they just had free reign to walk through the aisle and everything.
Well, they had a line of bodyguards who could hardly stop the crazies coming in front of the camera and sticking their fingers in the faces and trying to grab Klitschko or trying to grab Hayes. I said, one of these days there's going to be a serious injury as the guy's coming down the aisle because they're letting these crazies get into the middle. I mean, this is boxing has become, much to my disgust, and I hate it, become showbiz. This is nonsense. I don't believe
Dusty, being from a, you know, a wrestling back, I don't mind the showbiz. I don't mind the showbiz aspect if you can fight. I mean, after all the showbiz and all of that, show me a rumble, man. Somebody throw some punches.
Well, right.
You didn't get a rumble. You got
dancing. Hayes. They were dancing out there to me.
Yes. Hayes dancing salsa and Klitschko doing merengue. And they never got together on the same team. Yeah.
Dusty, it dance without music, right?
Yeah, dance without music. It's a ridiculous
dance without music. That's what they're looking like.
Hey, I was watching two women fight. I thought it was one named Shirley and one named Elba.
Nobody was going to anticipate the garbage based on the hype. I believe David Hayes did everything he wanted to do except follow up with combinations. But Klitschko didn't do anything except waltz his way through and wrestle and the steel hammer. Steel hammer, lead testicles, because the man is afraid of the freaking dude, man.
And that's
the reason that he did so little, Dusty. The reason he did so little is because that's all he had to do.
He didn't go fight again.
He didn't do nothing to the body. He had a lousy performance because that's all he had to do.
Them too. I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna be.
No one wants
to
see that again.
I don't think anybody really wants that. Yeah.
I gotta go back to Emmanuel Stewart, who beseeched this man. And he's not doing it. That tells me that yes, he was more scared of Hayes than Chris Arreola and then all them times Jimmy Jones or whoever he fought before. He was afraid to do because here's Emmanuel Stewart telling him, you got to listen to me. You're not listening. You're not fighting the way you're supposed to. You're letting this guy slap away 35, 40 seconds at the end of his round. You don't know who's winning. The fight is close. You cannot let him do this. Where's your hook? You're not throwing your hook. You're not throwing body punches.
He really got into him, boy. I never seen Emmanuel Stewart that pissed. He was into him.
I never saw him so angry.
Yeah, he was. I never seen him.
May I be perfectly honest? The reason that he was so angry is, if you really want to say, the reason that he was so angry is, he's like, you should have knocked out this stiff. Why are you letting him hang around? He's doing nothing. He's showing nothing. But
you're saying that now, and you're repeating that. What is that telling you about Klitschko?
Well, I've got a word for it, Lady A. I say that. It's like
he's overrated. That's what he is.
One wouldn't and one couldn't.
He's overrated.
Overrated.
I rather see his brother fight. I think his brother fights a lot better than him.
I agree. Yes,
Leatherface. I mean, when he fought Lennox Lewis, I mean, some people still had questions about that fight.
Lennox,
you know?
Did you see the tapes of Lennox Lewis when he fought Vitaly?
No.
Yeah.
I saw the fight. I actually saw the fight. That fight years ago.
Only thing that saved his eye was the bloody eye. That's what saved him. Otherwise, he loses that fight.
Vitaly was beating Lennox Lewis. He staggered him twice. when he got
hurting him badly, hurting him badly.
And he was begging the doctors to please let me go out one more round, please, one more round. If he had gone out that one more round, he would have beaten and knocked out Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis was lucky of that ugly cut, and then he split his lip. But Vitaly is a better fighter any time around.
And let me tell you something, Dustin Panel. All of these good American heavyweights, all of the good heavyweights are either playing power forward in the NBA or in the NFL. That's where all the good heavyweights are.
I don't know. I think the guys that were on the security detail for the Mayweather Ortiz press conference were up there. Yo, Doc and I were standing there like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Those guys are huge.
Yeah, look, I think we got a couple of 6'6" and 6'8". I think we got a couple of 6'6" and 6'8" in the security detail, no?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. You guys know the name of that guy that always does the escorts down? He always does the ring walks? Real big, burly black guy?
Yeah,
short hair?
Las Vegas.
Yeah, he does the Las Vegas. That guy is humongous.
That guy is huge, I know.
But he's been doing it for a long time,
hey,
though.
Hey, Lady A, is he as big and stocky as you are my favorite guy? I pick things up and put them down.
He was as big as that guy, maybe bigger.
What a moose.
Yeah, that guy's big.
I got to tell you guys a really quick story. I promise I'll make it brief. The person that I saw that has the biggest bodyguard in Hollywood, I was covering a Knick game many, many moons ago. And, you know, as usual, the reporters are downstairs in the lobby talking jibber-jabber an hour or two before the game. So, you know, these two well-dressed guys walk in, and after them, this guy that had to be about 6'8", 6'9", walks in, and everybody's like, wow, look at that guy. Who is that guy? I'm talking 6'8", 6'9", 330,
wow.
340, an absolute monster. Right after him walks in this little guy with shades. So I turn around, I hear the lady in charge of credentials say, party of four for Martin Lawrence. And at first name didn't jive. I'm like, Martin Lawrence? Martin? I look at this little tiny Martin looking like for all the world, like, please don't recognize me. With this monster right in front of him. And I'm thinking, you know, if he didn't want to be recognized, he shouldn't have walked in with that guy. Because everybody thought about it.
you know what was funny? You talk about sizes of dudes. The two dudes who escorted David Haye from the dressing room. Did you see those animals?
I know.
Yeah. These guys had muscles on top of muscles. I don't know if they were American, but these guys were huge.
The biggest guy I saw was Sean Ellis.
Yeah, Sea Wings.
Remember when we went to the Jet game? We saw Sean Ellis.
Sean Ellis, that's a big dude. But there was there was a survey on one of the websites before my computer broke down that they had 10 of the up and coming young heavyweights throughout the world. Six of them were Americans, and one of the six, believe it or not, I don't know if you saw it. Look it up. Was George Foreman? I said George Foreman.
Really?
When I looked at the numbers, George Foreman the fourth. His son is, and he looks just like George Foreman.
Yeah, he got his kid named George.
Yeah, all of his kids named George. George Foreman
really?
The fourth. And,
no, he didn't.
Yeah, and he's 22 and 0 with something like 16 knockouts. And American, I said, well, maybe he'll come out of the, because Roy Jones said it yesterday. He says, I got to go back to my computer and see if we can find some American heavyweight. And then Larry Merchant tells him, it's not going to happen anytime soon because we don't have anybody. And that's true. So this is why we're fortunate.
I told Doc this story, though I'm sure that he already know. You know, for the Ali Foreman fight, the great Jim Brown, the football player, has been commissioned by some magazine to spar like a round or two with both of them. So he says he's in the Foreman camp, and this guy hit the heavy bag so hard he knocked it off the chain. And he said after that I politely declined the spar and went on about my business.
So that's what
Ali was facing back then.
Oh,
what a
my
brute.
God. Yeah, these guys are brutal. That's what I'm saying, that we don't have. Yeah, Roy Jones says we cannot find any. You know, and this is why the Klitschkos are so successful, because they're fighting these dudes who are already seeing the top of their careers. They're being invited to come into Europe, pick up 3 or 4 or 5 million on TV. If you last a round or two rounds, three rounds, at least you fall for the championship. Shannon Two Cannon, Shannon Braves from Brooklyn. You know, he fought Who did he fight, Vitaly? Or was it Vladimir? I think he fought Vitaly. He wound up in the hospital. Yeah, he wound up in the hospital. He got his asthma or something. He wound up in the hospital. So
he lives in Star City too, Lady A.
Yeah.
Right.
Shannon, and, yeah.
Yeah,
Star City, yeah.
I didn't know he lived out in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? Yeah, Star City.
I thought he moved out of there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he probably probably moved out of there, but that was the last time he was staying at. Right, to see him shopping.
The origin is Brooklyn. I'm saying that we don't have anybody here. This is why we are fortunate to get back into the debate that we have the lighter weights, the Mayweathers, the Pacquiao, the Cotos, and the featherweights, and the Paul
Williams. Zab Judah, thank God.
And the Zab Judas and the Canelo Alvarez and the Amir Khan. I mean, a good fight. You talk about why is Cotto contemplating fighting Margarito. Man, a good golden fight for Cotto would be Canelo Alvarez. They're both junior middleweight champs. You mean to tell me they're not going to draw millions in a Mexican Coliseum? I mean, come on.
If you fought him, I would like to see him fight him in Puerto Rico. I wouldn't like to see him fight him.
Yeah, exactly. And you have El Perro Angulo. Nobody wants to fight him. This guy's
El Perro, that guy's a good fighter.
He's a tremendous fighter. Then you got the guy Brundage, K-9 Brundage, who just beat Setu Powell. That's a monster, man. So there are a lot of fighters in the lower weight for us not to worry.
And it's more exciting, too. Like, I don't know if you guys, saw Marquez and Vasquez. That fight was insane. And
that was one of the best fights of the year. That was a hell of a fight.
They fought three times already.
I don't see that fight again.
I mean, these guys fought each other so much that they know each other's last name. But here we have the trilogy with Pacquiao and Marquez. Who Marquez says, I beat him twice. He's afraid to fight me. Now I want to beat him. I don't think so. But then again, Marquez is a tough son of a gun, man.
I like Marquez because he makes adjustments, Dusty. He makes adjustments, Dusty. He knows how to make those adjustments in the ring. You saw it with Pacquiao, you saw it with the baby bull.
Bull was a tremendous beating, but you see, this is 6, 7, 8 years ago, where now he's a little older. Michael Casillas dropped him, and I thought he wasn't going to beat the 9 count, or the 10 count. He got up, but he beat Casillas. But he's been in some wars. I don't know if he can sustain a young Pacquiao, who's still 31 or 32, and he's 37. And he's been to a lot of wars. But it should be the test, in my opinion, to get Pacquiao ready for, hopefully, God willing, 2012, the fight between him and Mayweather. And like I said, I go on record, and Doc knows it, that I still feel that Mayweather has the tools, the speed, the counter-punching ability to offset a Pacquiao. I could be wrong. My worry with Mayweather is the fact he retired some time ago. He came back, he fought Marquez. That was no-brainer. He comes back. He's older. He's 34, pushing 35. He's had all these domestic jail time problems and all that nonsense. I'm wondering if he's really in shape, even though he's a gym rat. I'm not saying that Ortiz is going to win, but he's not fighting a pushover. Marquez was.
Ortiz is not a tomato can fighter.
When he fought Marquez, he had all of the advantages, physical and everything, because
he was bigger than him. Clearly bigger than him.
Yeah, he made Marquez come up from 35 to 44.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he had trouble making weight. And
even drinking his own urine helped in that situation.
So he tells Marquez, if any pound that I'm over the 44 contract, I'm going to pay you $300,000. Guess what? He gave him a bonus of $600,000 plus Marquez's purse. But now we're at 47 now with these two guys, and Ortiz was having trouble making the 40 pounds. So that's why he's happy that he's 47. I was having trouble making weight, so now I'm bigger and I'm stronger. I don't give him a chance to beat Mayweather. But it's a possibility because of all the intangibles. And this is, when I write a story, I do a lot of analyses, and I don't take things for granted. I put them together. Mm-hmm. Yes, I made a mistake. I thought that Shane Mosley had one good fight left to beat Pacquiao. That was the biggest blunder I've ever seen. I said, my God.
He's done as a pay-per-view guy.
Oh, he got beat up bad. He's done as a
pay-per-view guy.
You know what I'm saying? How the hell could I have been so freaking wrong?
I'm not gonna agree with you completely on that either, because I think a lot of people believe that Sugar had that
one
maybe
last rumble in the
right
movie.
The
yeah,
one
yeah.
last fight that possibly.
Exactly.
I don't think you stood alone in that
right.
comment.
Nope, you didn't.
You know,
yeah, so did I. Yeah.
I agreed with you on that. I mean, but I just didn't. You know, based on some of the things that Harold Weston had pointed out prior
yeah.
about, you know, like him giving him too much credit and you know, and then the odds and a whole bunch of other things. You know, let's not take away from Nazim. I mean, look what he did with Hopkins to
oh,
beat
yeah,
Kelly Pavlik. I mean, to
yeah.
have him in the corner, Nazim mm-hmm. knew that this was a vision that could actually come to fruition. I mean,
exactly.
let's be honest. You know,
right,
if he, because
right.
it's not like Sugar Shane Mosley's a bum. You know
yeah,
what I mean? The
right,
guy
right.
has fought a lot of the top fighters in boxing.
Exactly. Right.
Well,
right,
when
right.
he was young, he was good. But it's just like all the fighters that, I mean, five at a time catches up to everybody sooner or later.
Yeah,
I mean, when
absolutely.
The guy was in his prime and on his game, the guy was a hell of a fighter.
Right.
I mean,
exactly,
sometimes
exactly.
guys just have to be able to say, you know, mm-hmm. good night. It's been nice.
Yeah,
yeah, and
but,
also,
yeah,
let's not forget
I,
the fact that he felt the fury, too. I mean, when he got knocked down
yeah.
in the third round, I don't know if you guys really saw the close-up on his face and what he looked like.
Oh, yeah.
He knew.
Did
he said,
him?
I don't want to get hit like this again.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's true. He said, in addition to what you're saying, Lady A, he also said, in my career, I don't know if you caught it, I've never been hit so hard
right.
as I was hit in the second round.
Right.
I'm
and that right there is a wake-up call for any boxer.
Right. And
you know?
I was saying, Shane, are you for real?
Yeah.
You almost got killed by Vernon Forrest.
Right.
How the heck are you going to say this guy hits harder than Vernon Forrest? Well, maybe he does.
Yep.
Or is it old age that's made him feel the pain of punches more? As you're getting older, and believe you me, when I was on the last 2 years of my, the punches hurt a little more than they did when I was 3 or 4 years younger.
And your recovery is not the same either, Dusty, as you get older. I mean, working out, you feel it when you get older. You know, it's not the same. You don't recover as quickly as when you're younger either.
Exactly.
And you know what's so funny about fighting and wrestling, especially fighting, of course, is always one guy, no matter how good you are, it's always one guy that gives you absolute hell. I mean, of course, Ali had his Frazier, but he really couldn't stand fighting Ken Norton.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's always one guy that just makes you pull your hair out.
Right. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It said, man, I can't beat this sucker. I he hurts me more than the other guy. I mean, what the heck is going on here? You know,
the one thing I always think about too is like a lot of, you know, you got these lighter weights and then you got the heavier weights, and then you stop and you look at a guy like Tyson, how hard he used to hit early on in his career.
Exactly.
And then you have a guy that they talk about like Pacquiao now saying, oh, this guy hits really hard. It almost makes you wonder, like, does it have to do with the weight class? Does it have to do with the punching style, the style of the fighter? You know, because to hear that often in heavyweight division, all right, you're like, you know, he's a heavyweight, he hits hard. But now to hear some in the lower divisions, because remember, Pacquiao's moved up in several different weight classes.
Exactly.
So to hear him say that he has the power that he has after going through all these weight classes where people usually lose a couple of things.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
It's very rare to hear somebody say that, you know?
Well, what happens here is that they're banking, again, we're going to discuss it. We're banking the possibility of him being a steroid junkie. Okay, let me put that aside. Why? Because they're saying, how could a guy who in the Philippines weighed 106 to 110 pounds move up through all those weights?
You're right, before that 112.
From 100 to 112, retain all that power. But you got to understand something. If you look at Pacquiao's history, and this is what I did to sort of spot check what was going on, he at 16, 17 years of age, he had a record of 26-2. The two losses were knockouts to men that he fought overweight. Okay, so push that aside. But in those 26 victories, he had 17 knockouts, 8 of them in the first round at 16.
Right.
So, did it come natural? Somebody made a comparison with him and Prince Nassim. It says these European or Middle Eastern and semi-oriental like the Philippines and Koreans, they have heavy, stocky legs. Look at Nonito Donaire and Chris John. These guys have powerful legs, and the body and the power and the punching comes out of their legs. How true that is, I don't know. I'm no scientist or bodybuilder. But what I'm saying is that they have a lot of inane, natural power. Now, with the cancerous spread and the gossip of steroid usage, well, yeah, this guy got to be on steroids. Well, come on, because he pumped up. We all have pumped up. How many? If you look at Floyd, who made the initial charge, he was 118 pounds. He moved through Chiquenito Hernandez, the first world title. He destroyed Chico Corrales. He went out there, won the lightweight, then won the 40, and then won the 47, and then beat Oscar with the 54. Nobody questioned his bulking up. And when he fought Marquez, he was 154 and a half pounds. Well, Marquez was, you know, and nobody questioned him.
And Dustin, he really destroyed Chico. I mean, he knocked down Chico like five or six times. I thought
five
we were watching a breakdancing movie.
No possible. Yeah, five times.
Wow.
And I thought Chico was going to kill him. I said, my God, this kid's really good. That's when I became a fan of Mayweather, when he beat up Chico Corrales. But what I'm saying is that here, you went up in weight, too, so why are you making those accusations? Plus,
well, you know,
yeah, but
I
the
mean,
bottom
good...
line is, Dusty, that even validates the fact that he says, okay, if you question him, I go up in weight, we're both taking the test.
Nobody
okay?
questioned him.
No, hold on. You just did. You just
I'm the one that's questioning him.
No, he's saying that why is Pacquiao's thing a question now? You know, because, you know, basically Dusty's saying that, you know, everybody's saying, why are you casting this negative light on Pacquiao?
Exactly.
You know?
You're casting the light on Pacquiao. You're casting the light on Pacquiao before. He's suspect like everybody else in boxing is suspect. I mean, here's a guy.
Because
I mean, Brett Flowers had the great line.
Brett Flowers had
the perfect line. If this boy was in the era of Duran and Hagler and Hearns and Leonard, he'd still be down at 106, okay? We're not questioning him, but this is the bottom line of this, Dusty. If you're innocent, for $50 million, you take the test. I mean,
but
no,
maybe
I
what he's saying is maybe his question is, Pacquiao is saying, "Why should I? Who's he? He's not the commission to be asking this.
Exactly.
However, Mayweather,
is a cash cow. Yeah, you know,
so if he wants to set up a fight, why shouldn't he be able to do that?
You know why? Because what Ray Leonard said on the night that Julio Cesar Chavez lost for the first time to Frankie the Surgeon, it was funny. You know, Randall had some diarrhea problems, and they said, yo, did you drink any water? He said, no, I haven't had any water. He said, had no water at all? He said, no. He said, I had some ice in my Coca-Cola. That's your question right there. But here's the question is, what Ray Leonard said. This is what Ray Leonard said, okay? And you know, there's people who question Ray Leonard. You know, Harold's not a big Ray Leonard fan. And like I said, Ray Leonard beat every great fighter of his. I remember when Ray Leonard beat Tommy Hearns. At the next press conference, he said, you know what? I want to apologize to Tommy because I said some things that I didn't have to say. And when Ray was on cocaine, he said, I felt like a hypocrite making these commercials anti-drugs. But Ray said something this night, and, you know, let's just listen and cut all of the bull crap out, okay? Let's just listen. Ray Leonard said, there comes a time when it's about being the champ. And that's what you loved about Muhammad Ali. As great as Ray Robinson was, we know that there's allegations that there's guys that Ray didn't fight. But the thing about Ali fought them all. And it was a time, and this is what Ray said. You know, don't run that bullshit about Pacquiao, who would see. It's $50 million, okay, if it's the devil.
So
it's
what? I wouldn't do it, Doc.
Dusty, you're listening now. It's 50,
okay,
million,
listening,
so
telling,
what?
I
it's $50 million,
it.
And here's the bottom line. Just cut it, Dusty, just cut it. Here's the bottom line. It's about being the champ. You know what?
You want to fight the best.
I mean, Pacquiao, hey, bring it to me.
It's just like
the thing I like about Mayweather when he's with Kelly as opposed to Hopkins is that Mayweather, Kelly, you're working for me. I'm not working for you. I'll do this. Now, you saw Lady A at the end of the press conference with Mayweather say, hey, take your time. I'll sign everything.
Everything.
Like Ali.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll
he said,
sign
I'll sign everything. Everybody's
so
going to get a signature.
Okay.
Yep.
You're not listening, Dusty.
What does that
mean? It means that Mayweather runs his own show, okay, as opposed to Bernard Hopkins.
No,
okay,
but wait, hold up. You didn't say the clincher. The clincher was is, remember when he was doing the take for the buzz and the guy tried to tell him how to say it? He said, I got this. He told the guy, the producer, that was talking on the microphone for the buzz, the HBO the buzz. He told the guy, he said, I got this. He said, I don't need you.
If that was Bernard Hopkins and Kelly said, let's go, Bernard's gone.
By the way, hold up, Doc. Now that we're on the air, Doc, I promised Victor Ortiz, I would say this. You know what?
Kudos
to Victor Ortiz for waving off his manager when Lady A went up to him very nicely and said, can I take a picture with you? And the manager was pulling his arm. He said, get away from me. I'm taking a picture with him. With her.
Guys like that. It's just like when Ali. Ali always took care of me. Told the guy, hey, he told DK, don't mess with Angelo. Ali ran the show. And don't sit here and tell me that Pacquiao is running his show. He ain't running his show.
And kudos
like
to Mayweather. Thank you for the kiss. And Lady A officially says thank you.
Dundee said,
I'm jealous.
There was a time they had some guards there, and they were from the nation, and they were doing their job, but
okay,
they were creating
okay?
an air of it wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Ali told the guy,
okay,
Angelo said, hey,
okay?
champ, you know, I think we don't need the guard. Ali told him to leave. Rooney, don't sit here and act like Pacquiao doesn't run his show. Aram runs that show, okay? The thing about Mayweather runs his show. The thing about Ali runs his show. Huh?
It doesn't matter.
One minute you're saying it don't matter, nothing, but it does matter. It does
matter because Pacquiao
should have said, you know what? And you know what? And you're crazy any other way. For $50 million, you test the whole family.
Let me ask you this, Dusty, why would you take the chance for $50 million?
Listen to me. Pacquiao said it and he proved it. I don't need you to make $40 million, and he's made over $60 million since that nonsense.
You don't need him to make $40 million.
You need him.
All you guys who like Pacquiao and don't, you need him to prove you the best. You gotta fight Mayweather. You gotta fight Mayweather.
Pacquiao got offered $75 million. Who's begging for more money? Mayweather was offered seventy-five million.
He already
made over $60 million.
Is he fighting for seventy-five million?
Gang. Let me see what it sounds like.
Okay, Rooney, you got 2 seconds of your 2 cents. Throw it in, quick.
Thank you, Doctor. Regardless of all the talk that we've had so far about it, I'm tired of the tune-ups. I'm tired of the jibber-jab. I'm tired of all the yin-yang. I want to see Pacquiao. I want to see Mayweather. I want to see it now. I want to see it while they're both still relevant. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, Rooney, that's five. Okay, that's a nickel. You threw a nickel in there, Rooney. You're cheating. You threw a nickel in there.
You got change, Kevin, Doctor. You got change.
You got your nickel. Wow.
Yeah, no. Well, actually, no. He grabbed your 2 cents too. That's all he's giving 2 cents. That's what he's giving to him.
We all want to see that, right? And I want to see it in 2012. That's what I'm begging for. That's why.
No, the bottom line.
What do you guys? You guys think that'll be the fight of the decade?
Yes. That's why I hope Mayweather. That's why I hope Mayweather beats Ortiz and Pacquiao comes on screen for fighting Marquez, so they can be clean without a scratch.
Well, you know what, Dusty, he's going to win the Marquez fight because Marquez is coming up, so he's going to win that fight. Once again, and something Mayweather said too. You know, these catch-all weights are advantageous to Pacquiao because the guys have to make the weight that Pacquiao wants. I mean, Marquez has to come up again. And it's funny too about this. Nobody's saying anything about how Marquez has to come up to fight Pacquiao, but you bitched about he had to come up to fight Mayweather.
Pacquiao, I didn't say anything about that.
Other people screamed, he had to come up and wait.
He had to come up to fight
Pacquiao, 147, right?
Mayweather. Come up to fight Mayweather. Now, when it's a catch weight.
He had to come up to fight this guy, right?
No, not when it's a catch weight, Doc. Listen, for God's sake, the catch weight, Pacquiao weighed 144. In a cash weight, junior middleweight title for the junior middleweight vacant title to fight Margarito. Margarito was 17 pounds
heavier than
Pacquiao. And Pacquiao beat the crap out of him at 44 pounds. So what
Hold on. I want to say something here. On this show, okay, I'm serious. From now on, we do not mention Margarito. All right? I'm serious. On this show, on Sports in Depth, we do not mention Margarito.
Well, that's
in the conversation.
I mean,
you said it, Dusty. That's the last I heard. We do not mention Margarito on Sports in Depth. The guy should be in boxing. From now on, that's a subject we don't talk about. Margarito has nothing to talk about. The guy shouldn't be there. You made your point.
That's him and Cotto, then. What's going to happen?
He's been barred by the doctor.
The Margarito Cotto fight, okay, if this is the Garden, I may be there, but as far as mentioned on this show, listen, the guy's a great guy. He's a nice guy. I think he can beat Cotto straight up. I don't know why he cheated. I think he can beat Cotto straight up.
Let me ask the panel a question. Are you people convinced without proof that Margarito was loaded, had loaded gloves when he beat Cotto?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yes.
Hey, Dusty got over that trip, my man. Don't make any mistakes. He got over big time in that rumble, no doubt.
Definitely. I don't buy it until he gets caught, until it's proven. Now, at that time, there was an inference that his tapes were discolored, and when they went to investigate, they disappeared in the Cotto fight. So there's no way to prove that the man was doctored.
But
Dusty, you
just told us everything possible to believe this guy did it, and you're going to say, but no, there's no proof. They couldn't find the tape. They caught him afterwards.
There's no proof of that.
Are you saying that the fight with Sugar Shane was the first fight that he tried this?
He got caught, right? So now you got to start from there because he was
not.
That's
not what I asked
before.
You, Dusty. I'm asking you, do you seriously think that the fight with Sugar Shane was the first fight that he used the thing?
I just finished telling you that that's what
you didn't
caught,
tell me nothing. You sound like a politician.
Now, I don't believe. Let me tell you something.
Doc, listen, I'm lying, what are you saying?
The other day, they showed a film of Margarito fighting the guy where he supposedly tore his ear.
I was just going to bring you that story.
Okay,
where the ear was hanging off the side of his head. What's the name of that guy?
He fought Friday. He won. by knockout. I forgot the guy's
without
name.
Without an ear.
Lujan.
Yes.
Okay,
without
an
ear.
Angel
now,
Lujan, right? Was it Angel?
Angel Lujan. Now, what happened was that Margarito did not tear his ear off. The thing is that he pounded his ear. We get cauliflower ears. His ear was so swollen that when he hit him a third or fourth time, the bubble in the ear burst.
Yeah.
And that's
Dusty,
when the
but
ear,
the bottom line is, the bottom line is, Margarito had the plaster in his gloves. That's the bottom line.
That's what you want to believe? You believe that.
That's the bottom line. So what he said, you know what? I'm going to load up against Cotto.
But let me ask you another question,
go
Dusty.
This is a relevant question, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, are the rules in some of these other countries as stringent as they are in the United States with the commission in the United States?
In Mexico, you can do anything you want.
Okay.
Anything you want.
Was that fight fought? In Mexico.
Mexico.
So
could he have gotten away with doing something like that then? Is it more prevalent in the fights that he had in Mexico as opposed to the ones he's had in the States to have occurred?
We want to answer the question.
The man's ear has swollen, and then the
yes
bubble
or
blew
no
up.
Do you think
there
he had his
no
hands doctored, Dusty?
There was no reason to suspect.
Yes or no?
I'm answering the question.
The question is yes or no, Dusty?
Do you think his hands were doctored, yes or no? So now you're saying they were doctored because he blew up his ear. That's ridiculous, man. Well, God,
No. What do you think? So you're saying no?
I'm saying no because he didn't
get caught.
Okay,
that's good. That's good. You said no. Good. Okay.
Jesus
down in Mexico, he can steal, rob, and cheat, but he didn't dock his hands in Mexico. But he waited till he came to the States so he could get caught and dock his hands.
Let me finish this, please. The reason why Margarito is suspect number one of all the other fights that he's had where he's won is because he got caught with Shane Mosley. Nobody had any inkling that he didn't.
What would make you think that he wasn't doing it in the past, Dusty?
No, I will not believe that.
But you know what? Interestingly enough, in the Miguel Cotto fight, what Miguel Cotto said after in the locker room, what he said was he felt like he was getting hit by concrete.
How
crazy is it that he's saying that, and then this, the next fight with Mosley, it comes up that he has plaster in his hands.
There's no proof. There's no forensic proof that the man was dirty. He could have been dirty for 5 6 years.
I mean, you have that's a very high percentage of circumstantial evidance right there. I don't know. Only the boxer in the ring is gonna know what it feels like to get hit
absolutely
by concrete
that's
and an
true
actual fist. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
No, you're absolutely correct. But he didn't get caught. He got caught with Shane Mosley, and that's where you begin. You don't go back. You don't grandfather this. Even though
that's the first time I've seen Cotto take such a beating.
Exactly.
Outside
of Pacquiao, which you got to give the guy credit, he stood in the ring and tried to finish the fight. I mean, you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
I mean, where most guys would have went down, he told his father, "Do not throw in the towel in the eighth round." When I felt like, dude, you're destroyed.
Right.
His wife walked away with the kids in the eighth round because that's how bad he was getting beat up.
You mean in the Margarito fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, in the Pacquiao fight. I'm sorry,
the Pacquiao fight.
His wife, Jim Lampley, they panned in on his wife, and his wife is crying. Took the kids out and left.
The kids were crying. Yeah.
And Dust, let me tell you this, Dusty, okay? Having done some boxing, I wasn't in a high championship level like you, but I have done some boxing in amateurs, okay? A fighter can tell every possible thing about his hand wrap, okay? So there's no way on God's green earth that this dude didn't feel the difference with the wrapping of his hand. Fighters notice things like that in a millisecond, all right? So this dude
can't tell me that he
didn't feel the difference with the wrapping of the hand. Every fighter feels the difference.
That's it. Let him finish.
He's full of it. He knew and he saw and he was an accomplice. The fact of the matter is that they were, even the inspector was letting him get away with it until Nazi Richardson said, hey, that doesn't look right. He was getting away with it. And if he did it for Porto or Lujan or Kermesin Throne, he got away with it.
Let's put it like this. After the Lujan fight, correct me if I'm wrong, a few fights later, he fought Paul Williams and lost to Paul Williams.
Exactly.
So if you want to talk about quality fighters, I mean,
exactly.
Paul Williams beat Margarito, and Margarito
exactly.
refused to fight him again. So
exactly.
if he was that great of a fighter,
Now, Margarito, actually, once again, it wasn't about Margarito, okay? The thing was, once again, is the guy that's behind this whole thing, you go,
Bob Arum.
Is Arum. Because they offered Margarito $4 million, which was the biggest payday of his career, to fight Williams in a return match. Arum
right.
didn't like somebody
yep.
in the Williams camp and turned the fight down.
Turned
now, look
the
at this
down.
Scenario.
Yeah.
Look at the scenario. If he fought Williams again and beats him, you got a third fight, not to mention that fight would have been a great fight, a good chance for a close-up fight. But here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. If he had fought Paul Williams again, they never would have caught him because he wouldn't have fought Sugar Shane. He'd have fought Williams, and say he wins, they do a third fight, or they lose it. But the bottom line, because Arum wanted to screw over somebody else, Margarito didn't get, he got caught, but evidently he didn't screw this fight. But had he never turned down, and you got to wonder, and this is what, how do you turn down a quality fight, the biggest payday your fighter's ever going to make, $4 million, and you turned the fight down? Arum turned it down. How do you do that?
Because of the fact that he felt that Shane Mosley was a walkover to then fight for
The Shane Mosley fight wasn't even the picture then, Dusty. It wasn't even in the picture. The Shane Mosley fight wasn't even in the picture. They would rematch Paul Williams, Paul Williams rematch. Arum turned down the $4 million. Then Mosley turned up. Okay? Mosley was on the radar screen.
Well,
you know, and these are the kind of things that happen with Top Rank and these other promoters, and I'm very sensitive, but when Don King does remotely some kind of bull crap, you always hear about it. But this is
and let me say
this, I wasn't saying that he was on the remote.
Dusty, go ahead, Rooney.
Let me say this just quickly, and I know my lady able to appreciate this. Big ups to Nassim for catching that, too. A lot of guys would have been just half-assed paying half-assed attention, and not really checking. This shows great attention to detail about
yeah.
watching out for my man. Big ups to my team for catching that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And you could tell, too, when you talk to Nassim that he's in, like Doc tries to say all the time, he's a student of the game. He alludes to a lot. I mean, I remember when Doc had asked him the question about Black history, and he had asked.
One.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he studies. I mean, the guy's like another Hopkins, he's a student of the game, and he knows
right,
everything
absolutely.
There is to know. I mean,
hold on, gang.
Absolutely.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Well, we're in the closing moments here. We don't know how it could cut off, but we're just
kind
of set it up. Once again, Sports in Depth with the lights on and lights off, mic on, and we just want to thank everybody for listening in. We've got the last couple, 2-3 minutes left here as we're nearing another hour here, and thanking the panel, and first and foremost, thanking dear Lord for blessing us, allowing us to be together again, and for all things big, small, and wonderful. In Jesus' name be Lord. Amen. Okay, gang, so I just did that, so now if we get cut off, at least we just had a closing. Okay, so finish the debate, and I'm looking for us to get sliced off in another 5 minutes or so, but let it keep rolling. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Plate, the Rainbow Sports Up on the Show! The panel continues. Lady A, take it away.
I was just saying that, kudos to Nazim, just to add to what Coco was saying, to catch something like that. Obviously, he's a trainer that is alert and
exactly.
you got to give him credit, because had that not happened, where you know.
And that also was the second time, because in the Hopkins fight against Trinidad,
right,
there was some problems with the tape and rapping, and he was
because
in the dressing room.
Father Trinidad,
he had some adjustments made there too. I mean, they weren't as graphic or revealing, but
look,
he was on
I don't
top
think
of it.
Nazir was with him then.
Bowie Fisher was the head guy, but Nazim was with him. Because remember, when Bowie stepped away, he took
Fisher. Yeah. He was the corner guy.
He was the corner with Bowie. Bowie was the head trainer, but Nazim was in the corner with Bowie.
Yeah, but that was because
Nazim was the one that caught it.
That was a head game. It was no cheating. It was a head game.
That's not what I said. But I'm just said, though, he was the guy that alerted to the hand wrap with Tito.
Well,
I mean,
was the
head game or not,
but
Nassim was the one that had made the
inquisition.
That's
another scenario, because it was not the it was a head game by Hopkins throwing down the Puerto Rican flag and all that, getting into deep